Thanks for listening to AM 620 KPOJ. Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's progressive talk station. Now the Mike Malloy Show, weeknights 10 to 1 on AM 620 KPOJ.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. Thanks very much for joining us tonight. And I'm going to make this very quick. We announced it last night at the beginning of the first 2 hours for our WLIB listeners in New York City. This will be the last program that you'll hear of the Malloy Show on WLIB. For reasons of economy, Air America Radio is going to put in place of my program 2 hours of the Satellite Sisters beginning Monday. And it'll run Monday through Friday. This will generate income for Air America Radio, and Air America Radio needs the income. I will still be available via XM satellite radio and available via web streaming. And Air America has assured me that as quickly as they can, they will make every effort to place this program on another radio station in New York. In other words, syndicate it in New York City. Or put it on overnights, which I hope it's not the latter, because you know, I ask a lot of people keeping up to 1 o'clock in the morning as it is now. So anyway, just that's all I got to say about it. I went through this in detail last night, and I just want to reiterate that this is the last program on LIB of the Malloy Show. So for our New York listeners, now only affects one radio station, WLIB. If you listen to this program around the country on various radio stations, it is absolutely no effect, just WLIB. Now, for that reason, tonight, just a slight variation. Rather than doing our reading of 1984 as the last segment of the second hour, we're going to do it as the next to last segment of the second hour, which gives us a few extra minutes for tonight's reading of 1984. Okay? All right? Okay. All right. Once again, as you're well aware, the Democrats were sent to the basement in the U.S. House to discuss democracy, while this murderous torturer, Alberto Gonzalez, gets out in front of the cameras and with a straight face talks about the serious and grave dangers to the Republic of eco-terrorists, who deface SUVs by spray-painting polluter on them and decide to torch car dealerships. Yeah, those are serious crimes. Does it require the head of the FBI and the attorney general to step? Oh, Jesus. Don't. Come on, Mike. Program's only 9 minutes old. Don't get furious here. You know, forget Osama bin Laden. Forget this murderous bastard in the White House. Forget Cheney and Rumsfeld and the rest of these Nazis. The real threat to America are the people who respect the environment, but also who attacked Ford expeditions at car dealerships. Now remember the lessons of 9/11, Truth Seeker. We got to bring the evil environmentalists to justice, dead or alive. Jesus, only in this country would this have happened today. It was so weird flipping between CNN and C-SPAN, watching these two live events. And as I mentioned in my little mini blog at airamericaradio.com/Mike Malloy, the juxtaposition was truly Orwellian. Unbelievable. Now, just a couple of things here, and then we're going to bring you some sound from what happened today in case you missed it. But I got an email here from Nick. He says, hearing the little gerbilses, little gerbils of cable news today comparing Osama to Michael Moore and Ted Kennedy, I've changed my mind. Nick writes, the Bush mob has Osama in a cellar somewhere and brought him out and got him to read the statement like a hostage on Al Jazeera. On tonight's NewsHour, the guest said, quote, this is the first tape of bin Laden that has no single verse from the Quran. It does not have the flowery language of Arabic. It seems to me that it was written in English first and then translated into Arabic. It is a very Western style of tape, end quote. So, yeah, straight out of Karl Rove's office. These sons of bitches, that's from Nick. Thanks, Nick. It infuriates me. Do I think the tape was a fake? Yes! No equivocation. Absolutely. Now, a Duke professor, Duke University in Durham, North Carolina, Duke professor says he is doubtful about this audio tape. Bruce Lawrence has just published Messages to the World, the Statements of Osama bin Laden, a book translating bin Laden's writing. And Bruce Lawrence says he is skeptical of Thursday's message. He thinks bin Laden is dead, and he has doubts about the tape. Professor Lawrence recently analyzed more than 20 complete speeches and interviews of the Al-Qaeda leader for his book. He says the new message is missing several key elements. There's nothing in this new release, Bruce Lawrence says, from the Quran. He is, by his own standards, a faithful Muslim. He quotes scripture in defense of his actions. There's no quotations from the Quran in the excerpts. We got no reference to specific events, no reference to past atrocities, end quote. From Professor Lawrence. Now, while the CIA says, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, the voice on the tape is bin Laden's, Lawrence questions when it was even recorded. He says the timing of its release could be to divert attention from last week's U.S. airstrike in Pakistan. The strike targeted bin Laden's deputy, Ayman al-Zawahiri, and killed four leading al-Qaeda figures, according to the CIA, along with God only knows, literally, how many civilians. This is so out of the Nazi playbook. It is so out of the Stalin playbook. It is so out of Orwell's 1984. This is the new Goldstein, Osama bin Laden. Jesus Christ. The last time Representative John Conyers and his crew were relegated to the basement, it was for the Downing Street memo hearings. Remember that? I'm so old, truth seeker. I remember when Congress wanted to investigate federal crimes. I am so old, I remember when members of Congress in both parties at least had respect for the Constitution of the United States. Kit, doesn't that sound just, oh, Jesus, how old is Malloy? Astonishing. John Conyers, Maxine Waters, Gerald Nadler, Robert Scott, Maurice Hinchey, Adam Schiff, Christopher Van Hollen, those are the representatives in attendance today. Caroline Fredrickson, director of the ACLU's Legislative Affairs Office. Was there. The witnesses, Jonathan Turley, George Washington University law professor, Bruce Fine, former Reagan deputy attorney general, Kate Martin, director of the Center for National Security Studies, Caroline Fredrickson, whom we just mentioned, ACLU DC legislative director, Jeff Smith, former CIA general counsel, and Richard Hirsch, a Quaker and a member of the Truth Project. Now, we have 10 cuts for you that we are going to play right after the break that is bearing down on us. We're going to start them. And I want you to hear this. Now, understand, last month, all 17 House Judiciary Democrats called on Republican chairman of that committee, James Sensenbrenner, a real Nazi bastard, to convene hearings to investigate Bush's use of the National Security Agency to conduct illegal surveillance against U.S. citizens on U.S. soil. The request was ignored by Sensenbrenner. Which makes it abundantly clear that the Republican majority And they're not Republicans. These are American Nazis. But let's just call them what they are. They are members of the American Nazi Party. They have no interest in protecting the privacy rights of America or restoring the checks and balances of the Constitution. Period. Period. So to the basement for democracy.
Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century.
Dictatorship seem orderly. When one man makes all the decisions, there is no need for negotiation or compromise.
Across your sky. Welcome to the new American century.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Mike Malloy on AM 620 KPOJ.
One in four adults has high blood pressure. If you're one of them and you have a cold, Coricidin HBP has surprising news for you. The American Heart Association recognizes that decongestants found in many leading cold medicines can raise your blood pressure and interfere with blood pressure medication. So why risk it? Only decongestant-free Coricidin HBP provides a line of safe, powerful cold and flu medication specially formulated for people with high blood pressure. So make the safe choice. Coricidin HBP. Use as directed.
No matter what you do, work can be stressful. And all that stress might cause you to grind your teeth at night. So why not go out and buy yourself a doctor's night guard, the dental protector you wear at night to cushion and save your teeth, to put all that grinding to a stop. Just like that. Whew. Relief.
You've probably heard it before. After the end of a relationship or marriage, a kindly friend or relative will offer those famous words of support. There are plenty of fish in the sea. Well, that kindly friend or relative is wrong, dead wrong. And not because you're hideous and undesirable, but because the fact is, many fish are declining in number. Now, here's the part where you might ask, what can I do? Well, I'll tell you. On your next date, if you're going out for a nice meal or cooking a romantic dinner at home, be sure to choose fish that are plentiful or caught in an environmentally friendly way. That way, you'll help keep the oceans healthy and full of fish, and you'll look like a sensitive, caring person to whomever you're with. Now, that's sure to score you some major points. To find out how to make the right seafood choices and help protect our oceans, and for other easy tips on how to protect our world, log on to GetGreen.com. It's easy to do, and let's be honest, now that you're single and lonely, you've got the time. That's GetGreen.com. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense.
620KPOJ.com. Alec DeBrow is with us. He is the media coordinator with the International Labor Communications Association, ILCAonline.org. Hey, Alec, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom. Boy, I wish I had a senator I could call, but I live in Washington, D.C., so I don't have one.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes, I'm sure there's a segue from that into my topic.
But... Well, actually, what it means is you can call any senator if you'd like.
That's true.
So, Martin Luther King's relationship to organized labor.
Yes, indeed. And it was a powerful relationship. And Martin Luther King was in a line of leaders. He just happened to be the right leader at the right time. But he was following a lot of work done before him, specifically by the Sleeping Car Porters Union and its leader, A. Philip Randolph, who some people may remember. And Randolph was, in fact, the principal organizer of the March on Washington in 63. And I just found this out, that earlier Randolph had threatened to organize a March on Washington in June 1941. And Roosevelt didn't want it to happen, so he issued an executive order banning discrimination in the defense industries and federal bureaus, called the Fair Employment Act, and
Incredible.
They backed off.
Incredible.
I know. I mean, and this was barely known. I mean, we don't talk about this very much, but the work that Randolph had done in organizing that union, it took him 12 years to get a contract with the Pullman sleeping cars.
Oh, and George Pullman was notorious for running basically a company town and the whole thing, you know, his relationship with organized labor. Well, I mean, you had the great Pullman strike.
620KPOJ.com.
Is there a way to be noisier than before?
Portland's only progressive talk station. Now the Mike Malloy Show continues. Weeknights 10 to 1 on AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's progressive talk station.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more of Mike Malloy.
Here comes 21 past the hour. By the way, just I think I need to tell you this. If you really hate the fact that this program is going off LIB in New York, you should certainly express that opinion. But not to me. You know, I appreciate the emails, but send them. There's an email box been set up at Air America, and I've been told that people in the programming department will read these emails, and hopefully they will respond. comments@airamericaradio.com. Okay? comments@airamericaradio.com. That's where you, if you want to send me a copy of it, go ahead. But comments@airamericaradio.com. And again, I, you know, like I said last night, I'm not here to bust up on Air America. They have to do what they have to do. I'm satisfied with what is going on here, provided that Air America lives up to its end and of this agreement and does its damnedest to get me on a different station in New York live 10 to 1 a.m., which is what they've said they do. I have no reason to doubt them. Okay? All right, let's move on. The Conyers hearing today, again, relegated to the basement. We're just Democrats. We're just trying to save the Constitution. We're just trying to stop the American Nazi Party from completely gutting and destroying the U.S. Constitution. The first witness that we have for you is Richard Hirsch, a Quaker. And Hirsch talks here on how this group, the Truth Group, that's the name of it, became terrorists in the eyes of Bush. Now, I can understand why Bush got confused. Quaker, Al-Qaeda, they both have Q's in there. Oh, is it Al-Qaeda? Well, has it got a Q? Well, why does it have a K in it? Why has it got a Q? Is it Al-Qaeda? Quaker, Al-Qaeda, they both have Q's. Every time you turn around, there's a Quaker trying to blow up a building or maybe hurl an organic molasses pie at somebody or I could potluck them to death, right? It's a pretty scary group.
My name is Richard Hirsch. I'm a 59-year-old male with a painful neurological condition that severely limits my physical abilities. In November of 2004, people who represented an association of religious, educational, environmental, peace and social justice activists met at the Quaker Meeting House in Lake Worth, Florida. The Quakers welcomed us into their church because they believed our intent was nonviolent and was in keeping in their deeply felt beliefs of teaching peace and understanding. They knew our purpose was solely to exercise our First Amendment rights to assemble peaceably, to speak freely, and worship as we choose. We had no idea until 1 year later that the unfamiliar faces in the church had been sent by the President's Department of Defense to spy on us. NBC News investigators showed us the agents of the 902nd Military Intelligence Group from Fort Meade, Maryland, where the National Security Agency is headquartered, infiltrated the Quaker Meeting House, and then filed a report designating us a credible threat.
A credible threat. Now, thank God Gonzalez is out there protecting us from environmentalists and Quakers, right? I feel safer already, don't you? Sarcasm mode off. Here's Richard Hirsch continuing on how he and other peace groups have become classified as terrorists. Putting the lie, once again, to Bush's claim, the only cost to foreign countries, to Al-Qaeda members, you know, if you're not calling Al-Qaeda, you don't have anything to worry about.
President Bush tells us only a few phone calls are listened to, but that's not true. Mr. Bush says they only monitor calls to foreign countries, but that is absolutely untrue. He tells us he spies only on known Al-Qaeda contacts or affiliates. But I know for a fact that is not true, because I was spied on in a house of worship in the United States and in private homes in Florida, where I was meeting with other peaceful persons engaged in constitutionally protected activity. And it wasn't just us. Shortly after NBC aired its report, churches and other groups began sharing their experiences of infiltration and intimidation with us. St. Maurice's Catholic Church in Dania, the Unitarian Universalists, the Fort Lauderdale Friends, members of Pax Christi in West Palm Beach, environmental groups, and many others. Agents rummaged through trash, attacked and snooped into email, hacked websites, and listened in on phone conversations. Indeed, address books and activist meeting lists have disappeared.
Address books, meeting lists, disappeared. Ah, those dirty Quakers. American Friends Service Committee types, right? The ones that ask for, among other things, balance in the U.S. approach to the Israeli-Palestinian issue. Right? You know, Quakers.
There's a camera across the street, supposed to be protecting me, storing every little file, make a promise and take a while. Hooked up to a satellite, make sure the world's behaving right. I don't mean to bust your groove, think it's time we made a move.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Coming at you from the left side of the dial, it's Mike Malloy on AM 620 KPOJ.
Tina, your face is all red. Are you okay?
I'm fine. It's just hot in here.
Hot? We're in the freezer aisle, Tina. You're having a hot flash.
Hot flash? Menopause? But I'm still getting my period.
It's not menopause yet, but it could be changing hormones. When I got my first flash, my pharmacist told me to start taking Estrovin. Estrovin is all natural and can help reduce hot flashes, night sweats, and irritability.
I'm not irritable.
Right. And you don't need a prescription. It's in the vitamin aisle.
Let's go get Estrovin now.
Hot flashes? It's just your body telling you it's time for Estrovin. Use as directed.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, we eliminate the middleman? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301.
I'll never get used to these 10-mile runs. They are taking so much time out of my day.
Are you training for a marathon or something?
Diabetes runs in my family, and I heard if you lose lots of weight, you can prevent it. So I started running like crazy, and I cut my calories big time.
Oh, get real. You don't have to knock yourself out to prevent diabetes. My doctor said it's the small lifestyle changes you make that matter, because it's easier to stick to them.
Wow, really?
It worked for me. 6 months ago, I started walking a lot, and I stopped eating the fried stuff. I've lost 10 pounds. My doctor said I'm doing great.
I'll have to ask my doctor about this. I'd love to get my life back.
Talk to your healthcare provider. Losing a small amount of weight by being active 30 minutes, 5 days a week, and eating healthier can prevent type 2 diabetes. To get your free game plan for preventing type 2 diabetes, call 1-800-438-5383. This is a message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the National Diabetes Education Program.
What would Lewis and Clark think today of the land they crossed 200 years ago? Walk with them and see what you discover at www.lewisandclark200.org.
A message from the National Council of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, the Missouri Historical Society, and the Ad Council.
AM 620 KPOJ weather.
Few showers possible as we head through the overnight. Our temperatures will drop down mid to upper 30s. On again, off again showers as we head through Saturday. Highs on Saturday near 45. Chance of showers early on Saturday night. Then look at this. Sunday, maybe some afternoon sunshine. Highs in the mid 40s. From the Weather Channel, Sally Russell, AM 620 KPOJ Weather.
Morning 6 to 9.
The stuff that happened under the Clinton administration, they would have him out on the White House lawn, drawn, quartered, and being eaten alive by red ants right now.
Tom Hartman.
What you have is a White House press corps that is absolutely cowed. We have now gone from news to infotainment.
Stimulating the radical middle.
And because it's now an entertainment industry.
Tom Hartman.
If covering a missing white girl in Aruba is going to make more profit than talking about body armor.
Weekdays 6 to 9.
Then they're all for it.
On AM 620 KPOJ.
Hi, this is Al Franken. If you're like me, you love it when Al Franken performs live and in person. So if you love Al Franken like I do, I've got some big news. For one night only, Al Franken will be live at the Schnitzer Concert Hall right here in Portland. That's right, Al Franken live and in person, Friday, February 17th. So take it from me. Al Franken, you won't want to miss Al Franken live.
Tickets at all Ticketmaster outlets, including Ticketmaster.com. Produced by Monkey Presents.
AM 620, KBOJ.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you, and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Now, Mrs. Johnson, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hi. You can trust me. I'm African-American, just like you.
So, here's the low monthly payments and interest rates we promised, and here's where they triple.
The rest of this stuff is just here to make sure that we get your house when you can't pay us back.
What a lovely house.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
Now back to more Mike Malloy, weeknights 10 to 1 on AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's progressive talk station.
Guarding the civil liberties by monitoring the program on a regular basis, by having the folks at NASA, the legal team, as well as the Inspector General monitor the program.
You lying son of a bitch, and it's not NASA, it's NSA. Oh, never mind. All right, back to the basement tapes. John Conyers and the crew trying to preserve democracy, trying his damnedest to stem the tide as the American Nazi Party takes over everything in this country. Now, I'm not sure yet who are America's, quote, Jews, close quote, this time. We know who the Jews were in Germany. They were the Jews. So who is it this time? Or is it a group of people? Is it the liberals? Muslims? Democrats? Progressives? The Jews? Representative Adam Schiff of California asks the interesting question. What argument for this illegal spying that Bush is using? He's a lawbreaker. He's breaking the law. Oh, damn. You know, every once in a while today, I've had to stop and scream that. I was in the grocery store. All of a sudden, I stopped pushing the cart. I had to stop. He's a lawbreaker. Can we get some security, please, to aisle four? Some security to aisle four. White man going nuts. Adam Schiff asked the question, what argument in favor of this illegal spying is Bush using that you find the most credible, if any? Now, here are the answers, starting with former Reagan Deputy Attorney General Bruce Fein. Fein's says Bush is trying to claim that during wartime, there are no limits that Congress can put on a president.
The argument basically comes down to the idea that they've articulated is that when it comes to conducting warfare, there are no limits that the Congress can place on the president. For example, you may recall during the Vietnam War, Congress prohibited Nixon from bombing in Cambodia, 1970. And this argument would be, well, the Congress couldn't do that. If Congress tried to prohibit the use of federal funds to send gunships to the Persian Gulf to launch missile attacks against an Iranian nuclear facility, the theory would be Congress is trying to handicap or arrest the president's ability to conduct the war. That, is my judgment, is their best argument, and already on its face is so implausible that it's hard to, you know, have gradations here. Now, I went back and looked at one of the early decisions of Chief Justice John Marshall, who was one who was who idolized George Washington. He fought in the Revolutionary War, and he wasn't abashed about executive powers. But during the War of 1812, the issue arose as to whether or not the president could confiscate and seize enemy property within the United States without any authority of Congress. And Chief Justice Marshall said no, said it appears to the court that the power of confiscating enemy property is in the legislature. This is a case, of course, not cited by the administration in their brief. And that's why I would say, even though that's their strongest argument, it's anemic.
Anemic means it has no red blood cells. Anemic in this context means it's a lie. It's a lie. The director of the Center for National Security Studies, Kate Martin, now answers Representative Schiff's question about what justification Bush is using for his domestic spying on Americans. And she explains that Bush didn't make the case that he had to avoid the FISA court and violate the Fourth Amendment.
The Fourth Amendment says that searches and seizures in the United States have to be two things, reasonable and, unless there's a good reason to avoid it, have to have a warrant. And they can't make the case that they need to avoid FISA and still meet the requirements of the Fourth Amendment, even if the president does have some inherent presidential commander-in-chief authority to conduct surveillance on the enemy. The question is how and within what limits inside the U.S.
This is a question that eventually will work its way to the Supreme Court, I would imagine. You know what the Supreme Court is going to rule. The two newest appointees, and I'm including Alito, because the Democratic members of the Senate are not going to filibuster. But we have four members of the United States Senate that you know absolutely, positively are in favor of a dictatorship. The question is, what is the limit on this bastard's power? In the name of fighting terrorism, can he come into your house and rape your child? Well, according to Bush, he can. There is no limit. What do you call that? What do you call that? Here's Jonathan Turley, George Washington University law professor, answering that hypothetical question of Bush's strongest defense of his activities. He explains here that Bush's justification is an intelligence operation in search of legal rationales, and how the use of force resolution can't be used to justify illegal spying on Americans because Congress, in that resolution, specifically forbade Bush from doing just that in the use of force resolution.
What the administration is putting forward is a series of alternative arguments, And it is, it, frankly, it comes across as an intelligence operation in search of legal rationales. And the first one is that they are not violating the federal statute, because the statute says that you cannot conduct electronic surveillance under the color of law except as authorized by a statute. And they're claiming the force resolution is a statute that does that. I think on its face, that one can't be in the running, because it is perfectly absurd. The reason is that Congress had, in fact, refused to make some changes during that period to expand the authority of the president. The resolution itself was changed so not to be too broad. And nobody can cite to a single piece of evidence in legislative history. And as you know, you guys produce legislative history by the bushel load. No one can find a single page, a single reference, a hint that anyone thought that the resolution meant this. So that one we've got to take off the table.
Not even a hint. Not a page. Not a paragraph. Not a sentence. Nothing. In Bush's deranged, junked out, cocained, alcoholic, grizzled brain, he thinks he has authorization. He thinks he is authorized to use whatever means he feels like using and justify it, rationalize it, legalize it, by simply stating it is now legal. Can you imagine the whispering into his ear by Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld and now Alberto Gonzalez? I got authority to do this. Turley continues explaining that Bush's second argument for domestic spying is based on declaring FISA unconstitutional.
Now, the second argument is that the president has the inherent authority, regardless of FISA, to carry this out, that he, because we are at war, etc., that Congress cannot limit it. There's sort of two arguments in there, but dealing with both of them together, I think that's probably where their best option is. I mean, frankly, I think the only way they could get through this is to say that FISA is unconstitutional. I mean, it's the only clear argument to say, you just simply can't restrict me with regard to domestic surveillance. The problem with that argument is that, as we talked about, no limiting principle, is that it would involve any statute. We've already heard that the president said that he is reserving the right to violate the torture prohibition. We've seen with enemy combatants that he's reserved the right to strip citizens of all their rights, including access to counsel and the courts. We've seen here that they believe that regardless of that initial argument under FISA, at the end of the day, FISA may be unconstitutional because of his inherent authority. Well, then it doesn't matter what the statute is. It could be surveillance today. It could be a torture statute tomorrow. It could be a banking statute the next day. The point is, the president's saying, as long as I'm acting under the color of national security, I have an inherent authority that trumps the federal law. And that's probably their best one, but boy, I'd hate to make that in a court of law.
Well, you wouldn't make it in a court of law, Professor Turley, with all due respect. This is the kind of statement that is made before a tribunal, before a Politburo, before an inner circle of Nazis. You don't make that case in a court of law. Later in the hearings, Bruce Fein again, former Reagan assistant or deputy attorney general, describes the future abuses Bush might try if he's allowed to claim this kind of illegal executive power.
I don't think anything more needs to be said about the fact that he is violating FISA. I think it's even more worrisome to understand the claims he is making of inherent constitutional authority to undertake any efforts for the purpose of defeating terrorism, irrespective of congressional action or otherwise. For instance, under his interpretation of the authorization for force, he could suspend the writ of habeas corpus, which he hasn't done, saying, this authorization enabled me to do anything in furtherance of the war effort. I can suspend the writ of habeas corpus unilaterally, even though Congress hasn't done so. It would suggest as well that in the amendment that Senator McCain sponsored, prohibiting inhumane, cruel, or degrading interrogation, that really is an unconstitutional encroachment on his powers, because if he thinks that kind of treatment is helpful to defeating terrorism, he can engage in it irrespective of what the statute says. It would suggest that the Lindsey Graham Amendment, regulating the civilian review tribunals in Guantanamo Bay, also are unconstitutional, because the president may decide that those kinds of oversight is too great an intrusion on his ability ability to extract intelligence and separate out the real enemy from those who wouldn't pose a danger, and therefore he could ignore that statute. He could authorize breaking and entering of homes in order to secure intelligence to fight the war against terrorism, as despite the fact there's an authorized procedure in an amendment to FISA that governs physical searches. The president could claim on his customary incident of war he could put people in concentration camps, as was done in World War II, claiming these are people who are likely to be spies and saboteurs and aiders of Al-Qaeda. I don't need a warrant, and since Roosevelt did in World War II, I can do it now.
Do you understand the implications of that last train of thought from Bruce Fein? This I can't even say it, Gabby. This little man in the White House, this neo-fascist in the White House, with the Nazi Party, American Nazi Party backing him, has preserved or declared for himself the right to activate camps, concentration camps. Now, We've been talking about this for months, and I keep saying the only difference between these sons of bitches now taking over the United States and the National Socialists in Germany in the 30s is that so far we don't have the camps. Do you understand what Bruce Fein, former Reagan Department Deputy Attorney General, just said?
America Radio. It's the Mike Malloy Show on AM 620 KPOJ.
Dear Gold Bond, my husband's a carpenter.
And my hands were rough as sandpaper. Here's a real letter from Jean and Tom of New Jersey about our Ultimate Healing Lotion. Then she got me Gold Bond Ultimate.
It works better than any lotion we've ever used.
Goldbond Ultimate Healing Lotion penetrates fast to help heal rough, cracked skin. With 7 intensive moisturizers plus 3 vitamins. It's long-lasting, too.
Now his hands are almost smoother than mine.
Can your lotion do that? Goldbond Ultimate Healing Lotion.
This stuff really works.
It really does.
Our apologies, but in the interest of bettering the future of your teeth, we're going to resort to a rather unpleasant tactic. Coercion. We will play the sound of someone grinding their teeth at night until somebody out there buys a doctor's night guard. Wear it at night to cushion and save your teeth. Come on. Somebody? There. Thank you, Kelly Kaplan of...
A few gray hairs or wrinkles around the eyes might bother some people, but not me. I couldn't be happier. You see, 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, a kind of cancer. I wasn't sure I'd be around for my next birthday, let alone live to see the signs of aging some folks fret about. All I could think about was that I'd be missing the big events in the lives of my 3 daughters. Graduations, weddings, grandchildren. As I cried myself to sleep, I knew I was in the fight of my life. But I got help and hope from the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Thanks in part to the life-saving research they fund, survival rates for lymphoma and other blood cancers have increased dramatically. So far, I'm beating this thing. My cancer's in remission. Who knows what the future holds? But if living longer means more gray hairs and wrinkles, I'll take them. To find out how you can help, call 888-HELP-LLS or visit lls.org. I'm Kathleen Magby Brown, and with the help of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, I'm relentless for a cure.
620KPOJ.com. And Rachel in Seattle on the line. Hey, Rachel, what's up?
Hi, Tom, smart man.
Smart man, oh jeez. I assume that's a compliment. I haven't heard that one before.
Definitely.
Thank you.
I wanted to comment on your first guest this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if he's even read Atlas Shrugged.
Not only has he read it, I believe he wrote a book about it.
Some of the things that he was commenting on saying that the corporations should be more involved with the government legislation seemed a little backwards from the whole Ayn Rand thing, because in the book, the corporations are writing the legislation to drive their competitors out of business.
Mm-hmm. But they're doing that in Atlas Shrugged. They're doing that because the government has become so corrupt it's allowing them to. I mean, the whole point of Atlas Shrugged is government bad, corporations good, ultimately. Or, you know, John Galt, those entrepreneurs who stand up against the grain, good. Government bad, and a few corporations who get in bed with them are bad.
Yeah, but it just seemed to me that the theme of the whole first 10 chapters or so of the book was that corporations writing legislation to drive their competitors out of business is a bad thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's been more than 25 years since I read the book, so I can't specifically address that. But Alexander Goldmark, our board op in New York, who has more recently read the book, says you're absolutely right, Rachel. So thanks for updating on us on it. I appreciate it. It's great to hear from you.
Thanks
for calling, Daniel in Robertsville, Alabama. Hey, Daniel, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Tom?
Good.
I just got a comment about your guest. For me, from the standpoint that I heard, it sounded like more of corporate fascism, maybe like what Mussolini tried to do in the 20s.
Well, yeah, when Mussolini merged corporations into government, in fact, he dissolved Parliament and replaced it with the Cameo de Fascistio Corporaciones, the Chamber of the Fascist Corporations.
Yep, so we learned from their mistakes? I don't think so.
Well,
this government's going so far south, it's scary.
Yeah, or so far right. You know,
I used to be a Republican, or what I like to call now is the American Workers Party.
There you go.
I've gone liberal or Democrat since then.
Well, you know what's amazing, Daniel, is I will openly and gladly and proudly refer to myself as a liberal or as a progressive, but the reality is that oddly, by saying that, you find mainstream media commentators saying that I'm a lefty, right? I mean, CNN now, they just hired J.C. Watts, the Republican from Oklahoma. They just hired Glenn Beck. I mean, it's like they're trying to reinvent CNN as Fox News or something, I think.
620kpoj.com.
Retain its power.
The Pentagon has been spying and maintaining files on Americans, exercising their First Amendment rights. And so is the FBI. As part of an ACLU FOIA effort in 20 states on behalf of over 100 domestic political and religious groups, the ACLU received numerous documents confirming that the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Forces are investigating peaceful activists working on issues from affirmative action, animal rights, environmental rights, to opposition to the Iraq War. This is the same administration that had retired Rear Admiral John Poindexter developed the Total Information Awareness data mining system at the Pentagon. That program was supposed to track in real time the electronic footprints of every individual in the United States. The administration also proposed Operation TIPS, which would have recruited postal workers and cable technicians to be snoops for the government. And the list goes on. Torture, eavesdropping on attorney-client conversations, implementing an air travel system called CAPS-2 that promises to tar millions of innocent air travelers as potential terrorists, including, as we know, small children and infants, actively seeking to paint its critics as traitors, secretly deporting suspects to countries that use torture as an interrogation technique, rounding up thousands of non-citizens after 9/11 on the weakest of leads, aggressively using what should be limited anti-terrorism powers to sidestep traditional checks and balances, and creating, arguably, the most secretive administration this country has ever known. The NSA scandal is only the latest in a long line of abuses.
The most secretive administration this country has ever known. It's hard to sit here. Well, not here, but to watch this today. And I'll tell you, I had a hard time tearing myself away from C-SPAN watching this hearing. The only time I did bail out was to watch this little rat bastard Gonzalez and the utterly useless Mueller Mueller, whatever the hell his name is, from the FBI, announcing that they had a 60-count indictment against, 11 so-called eco-terrorists. And to watch the press corps still, as a group, a bunch of damn sheep, but a few individuals refusing to bite, to take the bait, and asking questions about bin Laden. What about bin Laden? What about Zawahiri? What about Afghanistan? And there stood the two top law enforcement officers in the country talking about this huge bust of people who are spray painting SUVs, for Christ's sake. In the meantime, the American Nazi Party is strangling democracy before our very eyes. We'll be back. Stay with us. Two more when we come back from Jonathan Turley, then your phone calls. This is Air America.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio. This is the Nation Minute on Air America Radio.
The scramble to limit the political fallout of lobbyist Jack Abramoff's guilty plea has infected Washington with reform frenzy. Overnight, it seems, everyone's for good government. At a recent press conference, longtime reformer John McCain shared the stage with Rick Santorum, the Senate's architect of the K Street Project, the GOP's effort to fuse lawmakers and lobbyists. On the same day, Speaker of the House Dennis Hastert, Tom DeLay's most loyal ally, announced his own lobbying reform proposal. One of the provisions aimed to, quote, make the Ethics Committee more user-friendly, end quote. That's ironic, considering how Hastert personally paralyzed the House Ethics Committee by purging its chairman after the body rebuked DeLay three times last year. As one reporter in the press gallery said, quote, it depends what you mean by user-friendly. If you're a congressman in trouble, it's already pretty user-friendly. For more, visit thenation.com. I'm Ari Berman for Air America Radio.
Hello. I am the Ricola Mystery Coffer. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, I'll reward you with $1,000, $100,000, maybe $1 million. But be warned, I can be a man.
Or a woman.
So keep your Ricola cough drops on hand.
For clues and official rules, go to RicolaUSA.com. No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or older. Game begins 10-105 and ends 2-2806. Ricola!
No matter what you do, work can be stressful. And all that stress might cause you to grind your teeth at night. So why not go out and buy yourself a doctor's night guard, the dental protector you wear at night to cushion and save your teeth, put all that grinding to a stop. Just like that. Relieve the nightly grind.
620kpoj.com.
Suddenly it's the anti-cheers, okay? You want to go where no one knows your name, apparently, is the new catchphrase in Washington. Everybody's running to give back the money. They're all a bunch of rats. Rats they are. And they're going to rat on each other, and quite frankly, I'm going to enjoy this. Because, you know, when you deceive the entire American public, and when you preside over a administration of corruption and death, you don't really want to trust the people that are doing it with you, because their heart is black. You understand? And there will come a day when they will get you. So the day has come. And anyway, I was talking about Griles, and I was talking about that Indian Affairs Committee hearing last night. I went to Bed Bath & Beyond, went way beyond, didn't even get home till 9 o'clock. My dog had to go so bad his legs were crossed, and he was doing the dance. You know the dance you do when you can't get the key in the door? And why is it you always have to pee when you can't get the key in the door? What is that? Is there like a metal-to-metal bladder connection? I don't even understand what that is, but now I do the dance, and I stand in front of the door. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And I got 9 bags from Bed Bath & Beyond, all with like, you know, towels and washcloths for her new apartment, because they were a dollar. Oh, good sale. Oh, good sale. So I went in there to buy like 3 towels, for they were like bath towels, good ones, for like $3.40. Don't ask me why $3.40. I'll go for the 339. You know what I mean? No, definitely 340. 40. Definitely 340. It's like they're now the Chuck Schumer of price markdowns. Because Chuck Schumer, I don't know if you know this, he's the rain man of the Senate. He has the best retention and recall of any senator I've ever met in my life. In my life. And I've met a lot of them. Chuck Schumer actually could see me after not seeing me for 2 years and go, you definitely had 3,400,899 pores in your skin last time I saw you. Definitely 3,899,466. Definitely. Now you have 3,422. What are you doing? You look good. Do you know what I mean? Cheney yesterday gave a speech to the Heritage Foundation. So, of course, it takes, you know, a day to turn it over. Because when was the last time you even asked for a ticket to a Heritage Foundation event, right? I mean, it's just not on the radar screen. So you have to wait until C-SPAN gets the speech and turns it around for me so that sane people can see or hear or read what the scary man has said. He is so freaking scary. Everything about him is scary. But the big thing was he lied. He lied. When we come back from the break, it'll take me 7 seconds for me to show you that he lied. I said, literally, 7 seconds or less to show you that Cheney lied.
If we had the ability to wiretap without a court warrant, 9/11 wouldn't happen.
Wait till you hear this. It's just, it's incredibly sick and sad.
620KBOJ.com. Morning, 6 to 9.
They would characterize me and my positions as being left. We really are mainstream America.
Tom Hartman.
You ask most Americans if they want Medicare to cover everybody, they'll say yes. You ask most Americans if they want clear skies versus a little more profit for Exxon, they'll say, I'll take the clear skies.
Taking back the airwaves.
It's good shorthand to say, yes, I'm a progressive. That means I'm in favor of clean environment.
Tom Hartman.
And holding corporations accountable.
Weekdays, 6 to 9.
Good public education and so on.
On AM 620, KPOJ, Ed Schultz.
That's the big story today, that Bin Laden tape is out.
On AM 620, KPOJ.
We cannot forget this administration because we were hit on their watch. The conservatives were in power. The conservatives had control, and they've grabbed even more power.
Thanks to you, we're making a difference.
The conservatives say all the time, we just need it more than ever. Let's just trample all over the Constitution. Oh my God, there's a tape.
The Ed Schultz Show.
We got to do something about it.
Noon to 3.
We got to pass the Patriot Act. We got to do NSA wiretapping.
AM 620. KPOJ.
85.
Dad, is that you?
Hey, Pumpkin, how's it going?
No way. Are you on a motorcycle?
Yep. Cool, huh?
But you're like old, and that thing's bigger than our living room. You are so gonna crash.
Hey, your old man's not an idiot, sweetie. I'm doing this right. I've got my gear, and I definitely signed up for a motorcycle training course.
Good, because your reflexes aren't what they used to be.
That's why I signed up for the training.
And your eyesight, not as good.
Yeah, I'm doing the training.
And you've gotten, like, flabby.
Don't you have, like, homework?
If you're going to ride, do it right. Take a motorcycle training course, even if it's a refresher. Call the Team Oregon Motorcycle Safety Program at 1-800-545-9944 or visit their website and ride safely. It's the way to go. A message from the Oregon Department of Transportation.
Your mom's taking the course, too.
Mom?
That's biker babe to you, Missy.
Radio News Network.
AM 620 KPOJ Weather.
Few showers possible as we head through the overnight. Our temperatures will drop down mid to upper 30s. On again, off again showers as we head through Saturday. Highs on Saturday near 45. Chance of showers early on Saturday night. Then look at this. Sunday, maybe some afternoon sunshine. Highs in the mid 40s. From the Weather Channel, Sally Russell, AM 620 KPOJ Weather.
Morning, 6 to 9.
They would characterize me and my positions as being left. We really are mainstream America.
Tom Hartman.
You ask most Americans if they want Medicare to cover everybody, they'll say yes. You ask most Americans if they want clear skies versus a little more profit for Exxon, they'll say, I'll take the clear skies.
Taking back the airwaves.
It's good shorthand to say, yes, I'm a progressive. That means I'm in favor of clean environment.
Tom Hartman.
And holding corporations accountable.
Weekdays, 6 to 9.
Good public education and so on.
On AM 620 KPOJ.
Experience the exotic story of Scheherazade with the Oregon Symphony, January 22nd and 23rd. Grammy Award-winning mezzo-soprano Michelle DeYoung joins the Oregon Symphony for the legend of a sharp-witted young bride who outsmarts her murderous husband. This unforgettable tale inspired two composers to set the story to music. Don't miss Scheherazade with the Oregon Symphony. Call today or visit orsymphony.org for tickets.
Did you know that when you spend your dollars at local independent businesses in Portland, that up to three times more of your money stays here in our local economy? Think Local First is a campaign that encourages individuals to support local independent businesses that create jobs, keep Portland neighborhoods unique, and give back to our community. For information on how you can get involved, visit thinklocalportland.org.
Hungry? Then think local and stop by the Colosso Restaurant and Tapas Bar. Thirsty? Then hook up with the Picasso Coffee and Bottled Water Service. They both would like to thank you for thinking local.
You're tuned to AM 620 KPOJ. Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's progressive talk station. Now the Mike Malloy Show, weeknights 10 to 1 on AM 620 KPOJ.
We have two comments left that we're going to play for you, or two clips, I should say, from John Conyers' basement tapes today. Democracy relegated to the basement of the Rayburn office building, I believe, in D.C. It's astonishing. James Sensenbrenner, the American Nazi Party representative who controls the House Judiciary Committee, refused the request by all 17 members from the Democratic Party to hold hearings on Bush's impeachable offenses, at least to the extent that those offenses concerned illegal activities against American citizens. Now, right-wingers don't care about that, you see. Conservatives, Republicans, right-wingers are cowards. Every single one of them is a coward. That's why when you take a look at the Republicans in Congress, you find nobody, with the exception of the a couple blatant exceptions. John McCain, who was a murderer from the sky. And who's the other senator that was in service, a Republican from Nebraska? Oh, was it Chuck Hagel? Other than that, every single Republican in Congress is a cowardly snake who loves to have your children and my children go die in wars so they can stay back here and tie yellow ribbons and wear flags, but they are cowards. Now, not just members of the House and Senate. Every Republican in America is a coward. That's why they love Bush, because he's Daddy Bush. He'll smack them on the ass when they get out of line. He'll tell them they're good little children when they behave. And behaving in the age of Bush means shut up. Don't say a word about your country shifting into Nazism. Republicans are cowards. Bush supporters are just as chicken-hearted as they possibly come. There's not an ounce of courage if you get 1,000 of them together. It's incredible. And Sensenbrenner is one of the lead cowards in the U.S. House. But the American Nazi Party that now controls the House and the Senate, the White House, and the judiciary, to such an extent that American patriots, people who still respect the institutions of this republic, like the U.S. Constitution, have to hold their hearings in a basement. Jesus Christ. You right-wingers, I'll tell you when the lights go out, oh, man, it's going to be fun. Before we get back to the clips, though, this email from Dave in Fullerton, California. Mike, you want to explain that song you played on the last break? Not many people who are on history buffs or active Nazis are going to know what it is. All right, the song that we played, real quick, play it, Kathy. Do you have it handy? Can you bring it up? It is from the movie Cabaret. It is Liza Minnelli character and her friend are having coffee, and Hitler Youth stand up in the coffee shop and begin to sing, "Tomorrow Belongs to Me." Okay, just so you know, oh, fatherland, fatherland. And in the movie, the nice, blonde, fair-skinned Nazis youth stood up and sang the song. This is what the American Nazi Party is like. This is what the little weasels and oily little bastards who say they're conservatives in America now, who say they are Christian fundamentalists, who say this, who say that, and nothing but cowards, sneaks, liars, and cheats. It's incredible. Just incredible. Back to the basement tapes. Jonathan Turley finishes up with two summaries. First, on how the fact that Bush sidestepped the FISA court is ridiculous, because FISA is virtually devoid of a basis to say no to Bush. But you see, Bush, being a little dress-up punk ass that he is, wants to be able to say, "I don't have to use court. I don't have to use court. I'll do whatever I want to do."
No. This is the most user-friendly law a president has ever been given. FISA virtually is devoid of a basis to turn down the president. That's why we've had over 13,000 FISA applications and only a handful of denials. That is, there's no law that is more specific than FISA. I mean, FISA is as specific as you can get, and it's as clear as you can get. But the president's argument seems to be, if I don't accept its clear meaning, it's ambiguous, and therefore you have to avoid a conflict with me. Now, under that argument, the president could engage in, you know, interstate auto theft and say that I didn't think that I was prohibited from stealing cars and moving them across state lines.
It's incredible. I didn't think I was prohibited from stealing cars and moving across state lines. I didn't think I was prohibited from spying on people. I am not going to be prohibited from locking people up in detention camps. I am not going to leave office. I run this country. You see how easy it is. Now, it's easy because we have spent the past 20 years, actually 25 years, ever since Ronald Reagan was elected, and he was elected President of the United States by Democrats, Reagan Democrats, who didn't have the sense God gave a pissant, who couldn't understand that it wasn't the amiable dunce Ronald Reagan they were electing. They were setting the stage for mass killers like Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney. And the list goes on and on. And Iran-Contra. And Oliver North. And John Poindexter. And Rush Limbaugh. So it didn't just happen with Bush. This is Bush 2. This has been in the works for 25 years. Actively in the works for 25 years. And these murderous bastards cut their teeth. They made their bones in Central America. Had to be a testing ground. How far are you willing to go to bring Nazism to America? That was the test put before these people. How far are you willing to go? Are you willing to set up death squads? Are you willing to promote mass murder against absolutely innocent people? The indigenous people in Central America. Are you willing to destabilize and overthrow governments to the extent that the streets run red with blood? Are you willing to rape and murder nuns? Are you willing to gun down a Catholic archbishop as he is conducting mass? You are? Then you are ready to take this country to Nazism. Now, this is what happened. If you don't know this, shame on you. Poindexter and the Negroponte, Elliot Abrams, the list goes on and on and on. Are you willing
to sell poison gas and chemical weapons to our ally in Iraq, Saddam Hussein, so that he can butcher Iranians? Are you willing to trade TOW missiles for hostages? Are you willing to lie to the American public? Are you willing to commit wet operations and actually kill people in the street? Are you willing to do this? And the answer came back from these right-wing Nazis, yes, we are. And they did. So as we sit here, the middle of January 2006, and wonder what the hell happened to our republic, I'm telling you, I'm on dangerous ground right now. I really, really am on shaky ground, because I have been saying for a couple of years, Bush has to be removed legally and peacefully from office.
And the battle full of pride, and they all came out of the woodwork on the day the Nazi died. So if you meet with these historians, I'll tell you what to say. Tell them that the Nazis never really went away. They're out there burning houses down and peddling racist lies, and we'll never rest again until every Nazi dies.
Is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Mike Malloy on AM 620 KPOJ.
One in four adults has high blood pressure. If you're one of them and you have a cold, Coricidin HBP has surprising news for you. The American Heart Association recognizes that decongestants found in many leading cold medicines can raise your blood pressure and interfere with blood pressure medication. So why risk it? Only decongestant-free Coricidin HBP provides a line of safe, powerful cold and flu medication specially formulated for people with high blood pressure. So make the safe choice. Coricidin HBP. Use as directed.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. A leading consumer testing magazine warns, if you're sensitive to dust, avoid bagless vacuums or wear a dust mask. But here's a better idea. Try my newest 8-pound Oreck XL Free for 30 days. It cleans the air as it vacuums your floors. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200.
A few gray hairs or wrinkles around the eyes might bother some people, but not me. I couldn't be happier. You see, 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, a kind of cancer. I wasn't sure I'd be around for my next birthday, let alone live to see the signs of aging some folks fret about. All I could think about was that I'd be missing the big events in the lives of my three daughters. Graduations, weddings, grandchildren. As I cried myself to sleep, I knew I was in the fight of my life. But I got help and hope from the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Thanks in part to the life-saving research they fund, survival rates for lymphoma and other blood cancers have increased dramatically. So far, I'm beating this thing. My cancer's in remission. Who knows what the future holds? But if living longer means more gray hairs and wrinkles, I'll take them. To find out how you can help, call 888-HELP-LLS or visit lls.org. I'm Kathleen Magby Brown, and with the help of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, I'm relentless for a cure.
Hello?
Hello, Jane. It's Julie.
Hi.
I just wanted to ask about the party your son Tom is having tomorrow. Our daughter Megan is coming, and I just want to be sure there won't be any alcohol there. I hope you don't mind.
My husband and I had planned to be out of town this weekend, Julie. We didn't know anything about a party.
Oh, no.
If you're a parent, it never hurts to ask. For more information on talking with your kids about alcohol, visit NIAAA.NIH.gov. Brought to you by the Department of Health and Human Services, the National Institutes of Health, and the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism.
620KVOJ.com.
Jill in New York.
Hey, Randy. Congratulations on the numbers. And I
oh,
just
thank
am,
you.
You're very welcome. I'm just fit to be tied because every Republican I know is a racist and a bigot, and it's the tie that binds them. And it's been going on since FDR. And they are just practicing what they always do, which is to call people names. So let's not call them racist. Let's ask them what they're really afraid of.
They're afraid of the truth. They're afraid of somebody like me sitting down at the computer and doing a simple Google search for the term liberal plantation or Democrat plantation or anything even remotely like that and finding a long list of Republicans who use that term. They just object to the truth. They're so afraid somebody's going to figure out that they coined that phrase, that they have practiced plantation politics their entire Republican lives. Trent Lott, remember Trent Lott lost his leadership position because he opened his mouth about, hey, I voted for Stroman 48, and, you know, we wouldn't have the problems we have today if we elected Strom president.
There you go.
See, they're all guilty of supporting people in their party who say terrible racist things if they've not said them themselves. Where Democrats have consistently fought for civil rights at the ballot box, for women, for blacks, for schools, for water fountains, for lunch counters. I mean, it's incredible. Our history, our actions, our deeds, our legislation, the fact that we ended redlining, meaning that the bank would look at your zip code and say, oh, that's a black area, and then just, stamp the loan no. We ended that, empowerment zones were created, because we believed that if people got the proper policing, 100,000 new police, remember that? If people's neighborhoods could be made secure, from security would come the liberty to open a new business. And if banks weren't redlining anymore, here was a perfect opportunity to send 100,000 new police officers to the places that needed protection and to tamp down crime so that people would feel good about opening up black-owned businesses. And guess what? It swept the country.
620KBOJ.com.
Expert, he teaches constitutional law. This is on Bush's crimes against the American people. Turley points out that Bush walks into a press conference and announces that he's violated a federal statute 30 times and vows to continue to do so until someone stops him.
Now, I want to be absolutely clear. What the president ordered in this case was a crime. Now, we can debate whether he had a good or bad motivation, but it was a crime. The federal law makes it clear you cannot engage in this type of surveillance, in a domestic surveillance operation, without committing a crime, that you can go to jail for 5 years. Now, we can debate the wisdom of that. We can debate why the president may have done it. But in my view, the president committed a crime. And we have to deal with that as citizens. And unfortunately, you have to deal with that as members of Congress. It gives me no pleasure to say that. But it also strikes me as an alarming circumstance when the president can go on into a press conference and announce that he has violated a federal statute 30 times and promises to continue to do so until someone stops him. That's the most remarkable admission I've ever heard from a president of the United States.
Yeah, it is. But this is where we are, you see. We are at a point where I don't know what the population or what the percentage of the population now still sees this rat bastard as a viable leader. Is it 30% of the population, 40%, 45%, maybe 50% of people who live in this country still see George Bush as a leader? All I can say to these people, to these right wingers, to these American Nazis, it is, you should get on a boat and get the hell out of my country. Get the hell out of a country that doesn't want you. We are about freedom here. We're about liberty here. We're about a democracy here. We are about a 230-year experiment that we're not finished with. You right-wing toads need to leave. You need to go someplace else. You need to go set up your own country. You need to get the hell out of my country. And take the pig man Limbaugh with you, and take Chris Matthews with you, and take all of these right-wing half-wits with you. I am sick of you. And so are normal Americans. We're tired of this. Spineless. Cowardly. I can't think of a list long enough of pejoratives to describe
people in this country now who support the Bush crime family, the so-called war on terror, the invasion of Iraq, the destruction of the economy. Look what's happening with people who were told that, oh, we've got a Medicare prescription drug plan for you. You're going to love this one, you dumb old bastards. Where do you stop? It doesn't make any difference what it is. Environmental law, food and drug safety, it matters not. This Bush crime family is the most putrid collection of Nazis ever to come together in one place. At least the German Nazis had some thought about preserving their homeland. These bastards want to destroy America, literally, physically, spiritually. Where it concerns our documents, they want to destroy it all. So you right-wingers who support this, shame on you. Really, I don't know how any of you can face your husbands or wives or kiss your children goodnight or hold your grandchildren on your laps. I don't know how you can do it. You're vile. And as far as making peace with you, screw you. I'm not, no peace. Absolutely no peace. I don't negotiate with terrorists.
Canadians, but they're all pretty lazy. That's where the hippies went when W won the day. I will rule the world forever. I'm straight and white and male, American and free.
Condoleezza, check my pussy.
Clarence Thomas Halliburton, mass destruction me. Place to visit. My wife would love to go there every single year, but they're just puppy. Yep, 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 yep. They need to shut their yaps. The big dogs over here. I will rule the world forever. I'm straight and white and male, American and free.
Condoleezza, check my pussy.
Bill O'Reilly, Devo Systems, mass destruction me.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Coming at you from the left side of the dial, it's Mike Malloy on AM 620 KPOJ.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
I thought you were done with our taxes.
I am, but now TurboTax can help us get even more from our tax refund.
Really?
Yeah. With TurboTax, we can use all or part of our refund for gift cards with a bonus of 10%, 20%, or more at over 50 major retailers.
Wow.
We can get more from the places where we'd spend our money anyway.
A bonus on top of our refund? I'm thinking power tools.
Or some new shoes.
DVD player.
Dinner out.
Barbecue grill.
New laptop.
Vacation.
Vacation.
Fees apply. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, we eliminate the middleman? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company?
You've probably heard it before. After the end of a relationship or marriage, a kindly friend or relative will offer those famous words of support. There are plenty of fish in the sea. Well, that kindly friend or relative is wrong, dead wrong. And not because you're hideous and undesirable, but because the fact is, many fish are declining in number. Now, here's the part where you might ask, what can I do? Well, I'll tell you. On your next date, if you're going out for a nice meal or cooking a romantic dinner at home, be sure to choose fish that are plentiful or caught in an environmentally friendly way. That way, you'll help keep the oceans healthy and full of fish, and you'll look like a sensitive, caring person to whomever you're with. Now, that's sure to score you some major points. To find out how to make the right seafood choices and help protect our oceans, and for other easy tips on how to protect our world, log on to GetGreen.com. It's easy to do, and let's be honest, now that you're single and lonely, you've got the time. That's GetGreen.com. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. 620KPOJ.com.
Tom Oliphant is now a former columnist for the Boston Globe. Which are you, the Yoda or the Obi-Wan Kenobi? Well,
I've been throwing that around in my head for the last 20 seconds, and I thought Darth Vader made more sense.
We're on in El Paso today, and the home of the Tigua tribe, which was ripped off by Jack Abramoff, one of the tribes.
Yes.
But it was sort of the most sordid one, wasn't it?
Well, you know, you have to be very careful because some of the behavior that involved not as much money as some tribes, nonetheless seem to me more reprehensible. It does interest me that, you know, from these emails that we now have, his contempt for his clients seemed to increase directly with the amount of money they paid him.
Well, that would mean, who did he call the troglodytes, and who did he call the monkeys, and who...
I don't have them lined up.
Okay.
Besides, the point here is that the comments were generic,
right?
Were chosen simply because of their willingness to be defrauded.
He did a double thing on them. He closed down their casino by getting Indian casino gambling closed down in Texas, thanks to Ralph Reed and his...
Indeed.
Who was paid $4.2 million.
Indeed. And remember that Reed's tactic was to use the veneer of morality and religion.
Right.
Actually in support of the gaming industry's interests of another tribe.
In the Cachadas in Louisiana.
That's right. Now, that's my nominee, Al.
is Ralph Reed?
No, the tribe in Louisiana.
I don't think the tribe was heinous.
In terms of Abramoff's...
in terms of Abramoff's behavior.
I think that's the most egregious.
Except here's the thing. The Tigua is part of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm saying the Tigua story is the most heinous, because it's part of that. Because they got shut down because of Ralph Reed. And then, after he shuts them down, he immediately goes to them and promises to get them reopened without telling them that he shut them down and knowing that he can't get them open.
620kpoj.com.org to see how your donated vehicle can make a difference for a family in your community.
Now the Mike Malloy Show continues, weeknights 10 to 1 on AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's progressive talk station.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's more Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
26 before the hour. Let me make the announcement one more time. This is the last program we'll be doing on WLIB in New York City. When you tune in Monday night, if you do tune in Monday night, if you don't, I certainly understand, you will hear the something called the Satellite Sisters. I have no idea what it is. Frankly, don't give a damn. Air America is going to be airing that for ABC Radio Network in a financial deal to bring some money into Air America, which I think is fair. This just has to be done. Air America as a network has got to survive, and you know why. My program will still be available in the New York market two ways, either through XM satellite radio or online. As soon as they can, the executives at Air America Radio in New York have assured me that this program will be placed on another radio station in New York. It'll be syndicated to a station in New York. They don't know who. You can bet your ass it won't be WABC or WOR, but it'll be a station in the New York City area. I hope it'll be able to pick it up in Connecticut, New Jersey, and Philly or Pennsylvania the way it is now. So in kind of recognition of the great support we've had from the WLIB radio audience for the past, I don't know, how long have we been on this network, Abby? When did we join? About a year and a half ago? We're going to do the 1984 reading now to give it a few extra minutes, all right? But I'll say goodbye to the New York audience via WLIB. We'll reconnect very soon. If you are really pissed off about this in one event, you have a right to do that. The place you send your email to is comments@airamericaradio.com. Air America Radio, not Air America. comments@airamericaradio.com. And there's also a link at my website, mikemalloy.com. You can use that. All right. Let us begin. For weeks past, he had been making ready for this moment. And it had never crossed his mind that anything would be needed except courage. The actual writing would be easy. All he had to do was to transfer to paper the interminable, restless monologue that had been running inside his head literally for years. At this moment, however, even the monologue had dried up. Moreover, his varicose ulcer had begun itching unbearably. He dared not scratch it because if he did so, it always became inflamed. The seconds were ticking by. He was conscious of nothing except the blankness of the page in front of him, the itching of the skin above his ankle, the blaring of the music, and a slight booziness caused by the gin. Suddenly he began writing in sheer panic, only imperfectly aware of what he was setting down. His small but childish handwriting straggled up and down the page, shedding first its capital letters and finally even its full stops. April 14th, 1984. Last night to the flicks, all war films. One very good one of a ship full of refugees being bombed somewhere in the Mediterranean. Audience much amused by shots of a great huge fat man trying to swim away with a helicopter after him. First you saw him wallowing along in the water like a porpoise. Then you saw him through the helicopter's gun sights. Then he was full of holes and the sea around him turned pink and he sank as suddenly as though the holes had let in the water. Audience shouting with laughter when he sank. Then you saw a lifeboat full of children with a helicopter hovering over it. There was a middle-aged woman, might have been a Jewess, sitting up in the bow with a little boy about 3 years old in her arms. Little boy screaming with fright and hiding his head between her breasts as if he was trying to burrow right into her. And the woman putting her arms around him and comforting him, although she was blue with fright herself, all the time covering him up as much as possible as if she thought her arms could keep the bullets off him. Then the helicopter planted a 20-kilo bomb in among them. Terrific flash, and the boat went all to matchwood. Then there was a wonderful shot of a child's arm going up, 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 right up into the air. A helicopter with a camera in its nose must have followed it up, and there was a lot of applause from the party seats, but a woman down in the prole part of the house suddenly started kicking up a fuss and shouting, "They didn't ought to show that, not from the kids. They didn't. It ain't right, not from the kids. It ain't..." Until the police turned her out. I don't suppose anything happened to her. Nobody cares what the proles say. Typical prole reaction. They never... Wilson stopped writing. Winston stopped writing, partly because he was suffering from cramp. He did not know what made him pour out this stream of rubbish, but the curious thing was that while he was doing so, a totally different memory had clarified itself in his mind to the point where he almost felt equal to writing it down. It was, he now realized, because of this other incident that he had suddenly decided to come home and begin the diary today. It had happened that morning at the ministry, if anything so nebulous could be said to happen. It was nearly 1100, and in the records department, where Winston worked, they were dragging the chairs out of the cubicles and grouping them in the center of the hall opposite the big telescreen in preparation for the 2 minutes hate. Winston was just taking his place in one of the middle rows when two people whom he knew by sight but had never spoken to came unexpectedly into the room. One of them was a girl whom he had often passed in the corridors. He did not know her name, but he knew that she worked in the fiction department, presumably, since he had sometimes seen her with oily hands and carrying a spanner. She had some mechanical job on one of the novel writing machines. She was a bold-looking girl of about 27 with thick hair, a freckled face, and swift athletic movements. A narrow scarlet sash, emblem of the Junior Anti-Sex League, was wound several times around her waist, just tightly enough to bring out the shapeliness of her hips. Winston had disliked her from the very first moment of seeing her. He knew the reason. It was because of the atmosphere of hockey fields and cold baths and community hikes and general clean-mindedness which she managed to carry about with her. He disliked nearly all women, and especially the young and pretty ones. It was always the women, and above all the young ones, who were the most bigoted adherents of the party, the swallowers of slogans, the amateur spies and nosers out of unorthodoxy. But this particular girl gave him the impression of being more dangerous than most. Once when they passed in the corridor, she gave him a quick, sidelong glance, which seemed to pierce right into him and for a moment had filled him with black terror. The idea had even crossed his mind that she might be an agent of the Thought Police. That it was true was very unlikely. Still, he continued to feel a peculiar uneasiness, which had fear mixed up in it as well as hostility whenever she was anywhere near him. The other person was a man named O'Brien, a member of the inner party and holder of some post so important and remote that Winston had only a dim idea of its nature. A momentary hush passed over the group of people round the chairs as they saw the black overalls of an inner party member approaching. O'Brien was a large, burly man with a thick neck and coarse, humorous, brutal face. In spite of his formidable appearance, he had a certain charm of manner. He had a trick of resettling his spectacles on his nose, which was curiously disarming, in some indefinable way, curiously civilized. It was a gesture which, if anyone had still thought in such terms, might have recalled an 18th-century nobleman offering his snuff box. Winston had seen O'Brien perhaps a dozen times in almost as many years. He felt deeply drawn to him, and not solely because he was intrigued by the contrast between O'Brien's urbane manner and his prizefighter's physique. Much more, it was because of a secretly held belief, or perhaps not even a belief, merely a hope, that O'Brien's political orthodoxy was not perfect. Something in his face suggested it irresistibly. And again, perhaps it was not even orthodoxy that was written in his face, but simply intelligence. But at any rate, he had the appearance of being a person that you could talk to if somehow you could cheat the telescreen and get him alone. Winston had never made the smallest effort to verify this guess. Indeed, there was no way of doing so. At this moment, O'Brien glanced at his wristwatch, saw that it was nearly 1100, and evidently decided to stay in the records department until the 2 minutes hate was over. He took a chair in the same row as Winston, a couple of places away. A small, sandy-haired woman who worked in the cubicle next to Winston was between them. The girl with dark hair was sitting immediately behind. The next moment, a hideous grinding speech, as of some monstrous machine running without oil, burst from the big telescreen at the end of the room. It was a noise that set one's teeth on edge and bristled the hair at the back of one's neck. The hate had started. As usual, the face of Emmanuel Goldstein, the enemy of the people, had flashed onto the screen. There were hisses here and there among the audience. The little sandy-haired woman gave a squeak of mingled fear and disgust. Goldstein was the renegade and backslider who once, long ago, had been one of the leading figures of the party, almost on a level with Big Brother himself, and then had engaged in counter revolutionary activities and had been condemned to death and had mysteriously escaped and disappeared. The programs of the two-minute tape varied from day to day, but there was none in which Goldstein was not the principal figure. He was the primal traitor, the earliest defiler of the party's purity. All subsequent crimes against the party, all treacheries, acts of sabotage, heresies, deviations, sprang directly out of his teaching. Somewhere or other, he was still alive and hatching his conspiracies. Perhaps somewhere beyond the sea, under the protection of his foreign paymasters. Perhaps even, so it was occasionally rumored, in some hiding place in Oceania itself. Winston's diaphragm was constricted. He could never see the face of Goldstein without a painful mixture of emotions. It was a lean Jewish face with a great fuzzy aureole of white hair and a small goatee beard, a clever face, and yet somehow inherently despicable, with a kind of senile silliness in the long thin nose, near the end of which a pair of spectacles was perched. It resembled the face of a sheep. And the voice, too, had a sheep-like quality. Goldstein was delivering his usual venomous attack upon the doctrines of the party, an attack so exaggerated and perverse that a child should have been able to see through it, and yet just plausible enough to fill one with an alarmed feeling that other people, less level-headed than oneself, might be taken in by it. He was abusing Big Brother. He was denouncing the dictatorship of the party. He was demanding the immediate conclusion of peace with Eurasia. He was advocating freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of assembly, freedom of thought. He was crying hysterically that the revolution had been betrayed. And all this in rapid, polysyllabic speech, which was a sort of parody of the habitual style of the orators of the party. And even contained newspeak words, more newspeak words indeed than any party member would normally use in real life. And all the while, lest one should be in any doubt as to the reality which Goldstein's specious claptrap covered, behind his head, on the telescreen, there marched the endless columns of the Eurasian enemy, row after row of solid-looking men with expressionless Asiatic faces who swam up to the surface of the screen and vanished to be replaced by others exactly similar. The dull, rhythmic tramp of the soldiers' boots formed the background to Goldstein's bleating voice.
And now the wheels of heaven stop. You feel the devil's riding crop. Get ready for the future. It is murder. Angled upon a slide.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
It's the Mike Malloy Show on AM 620 KPOJ.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
620KBOJ.com. The K Street Project we've talked about many times before. This was a plan the Republicans had when they came to power. And they basically went to K Street, which is the lobbyist, where all the lobbyists are in Washington. K Street is, Washington uses letters for some of their streets. And K Street just happens to be the one where all the lobbyists are. And they basically told all the lobbyists, look, if you want to send anybody over to Republican offices, and you do, because we are in the leadership of both the House and the Senate, you've got to fire anybody who is not a registered Republican. If you want us to take your meetings, you have to contribute to our campaigns. That's the way it's going to work from now on. We won't even listen to you unless you've given us money first. And Rick Santorum has a press conference where he pretends he doesn't know what the K Street Project is, though in the past he's bragged about running it. All right, on the phone we have Representative Louise Slaughter. She is one of the good guys in Congress, or good gals, I guess. A Democratic congressman from New York. Welcome to the program, Congresswoman.
Oh, thank you. Nice to be with you again.
It's nice to be with you. Now, I just want to, I've been talking about this Medicare, Medicaid debacle.
Oh, yes.
And how it sprung from a guy, Billy Towson, who was negotiating to become the chief lobbyist for the pharmaceutical industry he was writing this bill.
Yes.
Now, talk to me about how the Democratic proposal today will deal with situations like that and with other problems that we've seen in terms of this lobbyist corruption.
Well, the first thing we're going to do is say that anybody who is negotiating for a job has to report it to, we have somebody here who oversees ethical standards, but that's not strong enough. I want to strengthen what we did today to have an inspector general who will oversee all of these rules. We got to make sure that that everybody does all the reports, does them on time, and does them accurately. But this is a person also who would deal with that. And actually, the person who is writing a bill and negotiating with the very group that stands to gain from that bill would have to step down.
Mm-hmm. And what are the other proposals that that you guys suggested?
Well, we've got no travel anytime, anywhere. There's a loophole on the Republican side that if they want to take you to Honolulu for a fundraiser, that's okay. We're not going to do that.
They actually give you a campaign donation.
That's
all okay.
As long as it's a fundraiser, it's okay. I mean, that's how far they've fallen. We're doing away with the play for pay, which I have to tell you, to me, is the most egregious thing I've ever known. And I have been yelling about this since they brought it up in 1995. It was an idea that they would perpetuate themselves in office forever by only having lobbyists who were committed to the Republican agenda and the Republican Party and would show that loyalty by paying lots of money.
That's the K Street Project, right?
That's the K Street Project.
620KBOJ.com.
What would Lewis and Clark think today of the land they crossed 200 years ago? Walk with them and see what you discover at www.lewisandclark200.org.
A message from the National Council of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, the Missouri Historical Society, and the Ad Council.
It's 7 before the hour. I guess we ran over in that last segment, didn't we? Huh? With the reading? Okay, well, too bad. God, reading that novel again for, I guess, the third time. That I guess I've read it twice, maybe three times, so this is either the third or fourth time. I really do recommend that, go to your local used bookstore. Local used bookstore. You know, the one that's run by the young couple that trying to make a buck, trying to make a living, and buy a copy, and we'll read it together. We're going to do that every single night. Normally a much shorter segment, as per the instructions of our producer here. Until one of three things happens. Either we finish the novel, or I'm no longer with Air America. All of a sudden, that sounds a little ironic, doesn't it? Now, let me say one more time. I'm still with Air America. I've gotten a lot of emails in here tonight. Oh, why did Air America let you go? No, they haven't. I'm just not going to be on WLIB in New York. We will be on another radio station as quickly as possible. In the meantime, in New York City area, you can listen to this program on XM. If you were smart enough to sign up for XM, not because of this program, but just because of their entire spectrum of programming, or you can listen online, which some nights is a bit dodgy, but, And the third thing was, or until we're going to keep reading, until the novel's complete, we've read it on the air, or I'm no longer with Air America, or the Bush crime family is removed from office. So I guess there's a fourth one. We'll keep reading it until, fourth thing, Kathy and I are arrested. This comes from Carol the Artist. This is from covertoperations.blogspot.com. The nine circles of soul-sucking, war-loving ghouls. The inner circle, Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Rice. The second circle, senior Bush administration officials, senior Pentagon, NSA, and CIA officials. The third circle, congressional Republicans, pro-war Democratic senators and representatives. The fourth circle, media bosses, newspaper editors, influential pundits. The fifth circle, cable TV talking heads and right-wing radio freaks like Hannity, Matthews, Russert, O'Reilly, Limbaugh. The sixth circle, the National Republican Party, DLC Democrats, Democrats who think they need to be tough on national security. In other words, they need to endorse the slaughter of foreigners. The seventh circle, news anchors, mainstream reporters and media figures who casually go along with the madness. The eighth circle, right-wing bloggers, Bush bloggers, and war bloggers. The ninth circle, all Bush supporters. May the soul of every dead U.S. soldier and dead Iraqi torment these people. Yeah, that was in descending order, of course, of their power. There's not too much that can be done with the first eight circles, but the ninth circle, Bush supporters, you people should be ashamed of yourselves. I mean, you really should. Every time you open your mouth in support of this guy, if you're a male, you're unzipping your pants and urinating all over the Constitution and every person who's ever died for this country. If you're female, you're lifting your skirts and squatting and doing the same thing. Shame on you. Shame on you. Don't you people have any honor or decency whatsoever? Don't you understand what these bastards are doing in the government? Don't you understand what the Hannitys and Limbaughs and O'Reillys and Matthews and the rest of these people are enabling? Don't you get it? Are you that just brain exploded? Well, the only thing that Bush has ever said that I agree with, and this is applied directly to you Republicans, I don't negotiate with terrorists. We'll be back after this break. I'm Mike Malloy.
On Air America Radio.
Tina, your face is all red. Are you okay?
I'm fine. It's just hot in here.
Hot? We're in the freezer aisle, Tina. You're having a hot flash.
Hot flash? Menopause? But I'm still getting my period.
It's not menopause yet, but it could be changing hormones. When I got my first flash, my pharmacist told me to start taking Estroven. Estroven is all natural and can help reduce hot flashes, night sweats, and irritability.
I'm not irritable.
Right. And you don't need a prescription. It's in the vitamin aisle.
Let's go get Estroven now.
Hot flashes? It's just your body telling you it's time for Estroven. Use as directed.
No matter what you do, work can be stressful, and all that stress might cause you to grind your teeth at night. So why not go out and buy yourself a doctor's night guard, the dental protector you wear at night to cushion and save your teeth, put all that grinding to a stop. Just like that.
620kvoj.com.
Suddenly it's the anti-cheers, okay? You want to go where no one knows your name, apparently, is the new catchphrase in Washington. Everybody's running to give back the money. They're all a bunch of rats. Rats, they are. And they're going to rat on each other. And quite frankly, I'm going to enjoy this. Because, you know, when you deceive the entire American public and when you preside over a administration of corruption and death, you don't really want to trust the people that are doing it with you because their heart is black. You understand? And there will come a day when they will get you. So the day has come. And anyway, I was talking about Griles, and I was talking about that Indian Affairs Committee hearing last night. I went to Bed Bath & Beyond, went way beyond, didn't even get home till 9 o'clock. My dog had to go so bad his legs were crossed, and he was doing the dance. You know the dance you do when you can't get the key in the door? And why is it you always have to pee when the key when you can't get the key in the door? What is that? Is there like a metal-to-metal bladder connection? I don't even understand what that is, but now I do the dance. I stand in front of the door. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And I got 9 bags from Bed Bath & Beyond, all with, like, you know, towels and washcloths for her new apartment. Because they were $1. Oh, good sale. Oh, good sale. So I went in there to buy, like, 3 towels for, they were, like, bath towels. Good ones. For, like, $3.40. Don't ask me why $3.40. I'll go for the $3.39. You know what I mean? No, definitely $3.40. $3.40. It's like they're now the Chuck Schumer of price markdowns. Because Chuck Schumer, I don't know if you know this, he's the Rain Man of the Senate. He has the best retention and recall of any senator I've ever met in my life. In my life. And I've met a lot of them. Chuck Schumer actually could see me after not seeing me for 2 years and go, you definitely had 3,400,899 pores in your skin last time I saw you. Definitely, definitely. 3,899,466. Definitely. Now you have 3,422. What are you doing? You look good. Do you know what I mean? Cheney yesterday gave a speech to the Heritage Foundation. So, of course, it takes, you know, a day to turn it over. Because when was the last time you even asked for a ticket to a Heritage Foundation event, right? I mean, it's not, it's just not on the radar screen. So you have to wait until C-SPAN gets the speech and turns it around for me so that sane people can see or hear or read what the scary man has said. He is so freaking scary. Everything about him is scary, scary. But the big thing was he lied. He lied. When we come back from the break, it'll take me 7 seconds for me to show you that he lied. I said, literally, 7 seconds or less to show you that Cheney lied.
If we had the ability to wiretap without a court warrant, 9/11 wouldn't happen.
Wait till you hear this. It's just, it's incredibly sick and sad.
620KPOJ.com. Morning, 6 to 9.
They would characterize me and my positions as being left. We really are mainstream America.
Tom Hartman.
You ask most Americans if they want Medicare to cover everybody, they'll say yes. You ask most Americans if they want clear skies versus a little more profit for Exxon, they'll say, I'll take the clear skies.
Taking back the airwaves.
It's good shorthand to say, yes, I'm a progressive. That means I'm in favor of clean environment.
Tom Hartman.
And holding corporations accountable.
Weekdays, 6 to 9.
Good public education and so on.
On AM 620 KPOJ. Ed Schultz.
That's the big story today, that Bin Laden tape is out.
On AM 620 KPOJ.
We cannot forget this administration because we were hit on their watch. The conservatives were in power. The conservatives had control and they've grabbed even more power.
Thanks to you, we're making a difference.
The conservatives say all the time, we just need it more than ever. Let's just trample all over the Constitution. Oh my God, there's a tape.
The Ed Schultz Show.
We gotta do something about it.
Noon to 3.
We gotta pass the Patriot Act. We gotta do NSA wiretapping.
AM 620 KPOJ.
301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call.
A few gray hairs or wrinkles around the eyes might bother some people, but not me. I couldn't be happier. You see, 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, a kind of cancer. I wasn't sure I'd be around for my next birthday, let alone live to see the signs of aging some folks fret about. All I could think about was that I'd be missing the big events in the lives of my 3 daughters. Graduations, weddings, grandchildren. As I cried myself to sleep, I knew I was in the fight of my life. But I got help and hope from the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Thanks in part to the life-saving research they fund, survival rates for lymphoma and other blood cancers have increased dramatically. So far, I'm beating this thing. My cancer's in remission. Who knows what the future holds? But if living longer means more gray hairs and wrinkles, I'll take them. To find out how you can help, call 888-HELP-LLS or visit lls.org. I'm Kathleen Magby Brown, and with the help of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, I'm relentless for a cure.
620KPOJ.com.
Jill in New York.
Hey, Randy, congratulations on the numbers. And I just
thank you.
You're very welcome. I'm just fit to be tied because every Republican I know is a racist and a bigot, and it's the tie that binds them, and it's been going on since FDR. And they are just practicing what they always do, which is to call people names. So let's not call them racist. Let's ask them what they're really afraid of.
They're afraid of the truth. They're afraid of somebody like me sitting down at the computer and doing a simple Google search for the term liberal plantation or Democrat plantation or anything even remotely like that and finding a long list of Republicans who use that term. They just object to the truth. They're so afraid somebody's going to figure out that they coined that phrase, that they have practiced plantation politics their entire Republican lives. Trent Lott, remember Trent Lott lost his leadership position because he opened his mouth about, hey, you know, I voted for Strom in 48, and, you know, we wouldn't have the problems we have today if we elected Strom president.
There you go.
See, I mean, they're all guilty of supporting people in their party who say terrible racist things if they've not said them themselves, where Democrats have consistently fought for civil rights at the ballot box, for women, for blacks, for schools, for water fountains, for lunch counters. I mean, it's incredible. Our history, our actions, our deeds, our legislation, the fact that we ended redlining, meaning that the bank would look at your zip code and say, oh, that's a black area, and then just, you know, stamp the loan no. We ended that. Empowerment zones were created because we believed that if people got the proper policing, 100,000 new police, remember that? If people's neighborhoods could be made secure, from security would come the liberty to open a new business. And if banks weren't redlining anymore, here was a perfect opportunity to send 100,000 new police officers to the places that needed protection and to tamp down crime so that people would feel good about opening up black-owned businesses. And guess what? It swept the country.
620KPOJ.com. AM 620 KPOJ believes in activism, and activism begins with you. Contact Senator Ron Wyden in Washington, D.C. at 1-202-224-5244 or in Oregon at 503-326-7525. Contact Senator Gordon Smith in Washington, D.C. at 1-202-224-3753 or in Oregon at 503-326-3386. With your help, we can make a difference. AM 620 KPOJ. Portland's progressive talk station.
Have
morning 6 to 9.
They would characterize me and my positions as being left. We really are mainstream America.
Tom Hartman.
You ask most Americans if they want Medicare to cover everybody, they'll say yes. You ask most Americans if they want clear skies versus a little more profit for Exxon, they'll say, I'll take the clear skies.
Taking back the airwaves.
It's good shorthand to say, yes, I'm a progressive. That means I'm in favor of clean environment.
Tom Hartman.
And holding corporations accountable.
Weekdays, 6 to 9.
Good public education and so on.
On AM 620 KPOJ, Ed Schultz.
That's a big story today that Bin Laden tape is out.
On AM 620 KPOJ.
We cannot forget this administration because we were hit on their watch. The conservatives were in power. The conservatives had control and they've grabbed even more power.
Thanks to you, we're making a difference.
The conservatives say all the time, we just need it more than ever. Let's just trample all over the Constitution. Oh my God, there's a tape.
The Ed Schultz Show.
We got to do something about it.
Noon to 3.
We got to pass the Patriot Act. We got to do NSA wiretapping.
AM 620 KPOJ.
The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face. If you experience this, call 911 immediately. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
I don't like to do that because it just degenerates into a screaming match. And the other reason, I just can't stand most television talk show hosts. I really can't. Yeah, neither can you. You know that. I have made some comments about Scarborough that I stand by. I don't know why they would send the invitation to me, but that's cool. I'm not going to question that. So I'm just not sure what to do here. I've refused totally now CNN. I used to work there. I would not go near CNN. Fox, forget about it. I was on that suck-ass network one time. What was that program I was on? It was on Valentine's Day on Fox. Remember that? What was it?
Is that former Ohio congressman?
Yeah. What was his name? From the Heartland. From the Heartland.
Yeah.
From the Heartland.
With Spacely or something. What the hell was his name?
I have no idea. These sick bastards. I don't care. They're all the same. You know, they're little bobbleheads. You just rip one head off and put another one on the corpse. You know, it's the same. They're all the same. But anyway, so I just have a question. That's all. Just a question. No big deal. I'm just curious. And this came up today when Kathy and I were talking about this. The invitation came from a producer, I think a producer, somebody at MSNBC who really likes the program that we do. And that's nice. I appreciate that. But I had made it clear to all of these television bookers, you know, who call you up at the last minute, even CNN headlines. Oh, can you come on? No, you know, I'm not interested anymore. I can't handle it. So what do you think? Do you think that we should do this? And the reason I'm putting it to the audience is simply this. I have said repeatedly that these shows are cesspools. They're crapola pits. I don't like them. And I don't want to appear like a major hypocrite by showing up on them. There's no pay for doing this. And it certainly, I don't think, is going to promote the program, this program.
Well, what are you trying to say, Mike? Are you saying I'm full of crapola? I'm not following you. You know, I was taken hostage yesterday. Did you see that? Hostage. They took away my jacket. They took away my donuts.
Okay.
I can imagine how those people feel in a racket. They must just, I don't know. There's no Starbucks. Can't get any good nail polish.
Okay.
No tweezers.
Rita.
Hell for them. It's hell. It was terrible. They sat me down at a desk.
Rita.
Couldn't watch The View.
You know, Rita used to be at Fox and then slithered under one of the doors and wound up at MSNBC. But anyway, I just wondered what you all thought. Because I turned down vocally and with lots of cuss words. An email invitation to appear at a what was it called? A conference, the Conservative Caucus Conference, Mutual Masturbatory Society meeting in New York, where all these right wing talk show hosts get together, and the Nazis come up and down the hallway, and they get interviewed, and the company that sent the invitation, I just told them to go F themselves, and I'll be damned if the email I wrote didn't wind up in the Washington Post. What, Kathy?
I only had one bag of cheese.
All right.
Took away my cell phone.
Now, one of my friends in the executive suites of Air America says, no, Scarborough's a snake. You know, don't even go near the program. But a couple of other of the execs at Air America said, yeah, go for it.
I'll tell you, he's a real lady killer. I do know that.
I can't believe you said that, Rita. Scarborough's a real lady killer? I also have a friend at Air America who suggested that my appearance on Scarborough could only end in tears. So, for Scarborough. Possibly
a warrant. You never know.
That's true.
Or a restraining order.
That's true. So I hate to eat up minutes of the program here. We don't have that much time, but I just wanted to put that out there and see if somebody wants to shoot me an email about, yeah, go do it, or no, don't do it, or who the hell cares, or come on, Malloy, don't bring your personal crap to the program. You know, whatever you want to say. If your email is nasty enough, you just get the automated response. You know, I've got a filter system that is geared a certain way that, picks up apparently. I don't know how many it picks up, but we get emails that get the automated response, and so you know, be cool what you say.
Yes, and that email system is brought to you by our wonderful friends at the NSA.
Rita's out of control tonight. All right, let's do some phone calls here. Okay, this is Talk Radio. Let's start with Will, who's calling in from Brooklyn. Will, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hey, Mike. Just want to point out that the terrorists are magic, it seems. You know, the recording just now comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
No one could foresee September the 11th. Poof, the WMD that were points northeast, southwest of Baghdad, all of a sudden are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Says we know exactly where Bin Laden is, but we can't find him. The point is, either they exist, or Bin Laden's alive, in which case we're incompetent to get him, or he doesn't exist, in which case it is a magic show that's being put on for
him. Right, right. Yeah, I hold with the magic show. I kind of agree with this Duke University professor who has written a book, apparently, translating and deciphering and deconstructing messages from Osama bin Laden. And his point of view is that bin Laden is dead, and has been, and that this is the Bush administration's Goldstein, as O'Brien and the party had had Goldstein in 1984. These people have bin Laden. And I'm tending really to believe that. I just don't think, especially the crappy quality of these tapes. For Christ's sake, this is 2006. Are you telling me that that somebody who's a member of a billionaire Saudi family like bin Laden can't get absolutely perfect digital recording devices and then pay somebody $50,000 to personally deliver it to Al Jazeera, somebody who is, oh, I don't know, white and speaks English, maybe, or speaks Russian or something? You know, this is bat squeeze. This whole bin Laden scam is just that, a scam. And it's interesting also that this comes, 2 weeks before Bush's toy State of the Union message. Here we go again. So this rat bastard will enjoy wave after wave of applause as it rolls over him as he enters the cesspool that has become the House and Senate. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. You have to deconstruct also McClellan's response. He only has it half right in terms of the business that we do with terrorists. I mean, first, Reagan tries to put them in the business of Russian fighting. Then Bush tries to put them in the business of gas pipelines by bringing them
right.
The Taliban down to Texas.
Right.
And it's only after the Saudis burned Saudi oil in the World Trade Center and after the Taliban rejected Bush's negotiating terms down in Texas that they now have to be put out of business because they don't, you know. They're not with the program.
Yeah, that's right. They're not with the program. If you're not with the program, you're against us. You support the terrorists. Hey, thanks, Will. I appreciate you checking in, pal. Have a nice weekend. We'll be right back after this break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
Politicians got lipstick on the collar. The whole media started to holler. But I don't give a who they screwing in private. I want to know who they screwing in public. Robbing, cheating, stealing, white collar criminal, McDonald eating.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. Mike Malloy on AM 620 KPOJ.
I thought you were done with our taxes.
I am, but now TurboTax can help us get even more from our tax refund.
Really?
Yeah. With TurboTax, we can use all or part of our refund for gift cards with a bonus of 10%, 20%, or more at over 50 major retailers.
Wow.
We can get more from the places where we'd spend our money anyway.
A bonus on top of our refund? I'm thinking power tools.
Or some new shoes.
DVD player.
Dinner out.
Barbecue grill.
New laptop.
Vacation.
Ah, vacation.
Fees apply. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
No matter what you do, work can be stressful, and all that stress might cause you to grind your teeth at night. So why not go out and buy yourself a doctor's night guard, the dental protector you wear at night to cushion and save your teeth, to put all that grinding to a stop. Just like that. Whew. Relief.
You've probably heard it before. After the end of a relationship or marriage, a kindly friend or relative will offer those famous words of support. There are plenty of fish in the sea. Well, that kindly friend or relative is wrong, dead wrong. And not because you're hideous and undesirable, but because the fact is, many fish are declining in number. Now, here's the part where you might ask, what can I do? Well, I'll tell you. On your next date, if you're going out for a nice meal or cooking a romantic dinner at home, be sure to choose fish that are plentiful or caught in an environmentally friendly way. That way, you'll help keep the oceans healthy and full of fish, and you'll look like a sensitive, caring person to whomever you're with. Now that's sure to score you some major points. To find out how to make the right seafood choices and help protect our oceans, and for other easy tips on how to protect our world, log on to getgreen.com. It's easy to do, and let's be honest, now that you're single and lonely, you've got the time. That's getgreen.com. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense.
620KPOJ.com.
And Rachel in Seattle on the line. Hey, Rachel, what's up?
Hi, Tom, smart man.
A smart match. Oh, jeez. I assume that's a compliment. I haven't heard that one before.
Definitely.
Thank you.
I wanted to comment on your first guest this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if he's even read Atlas Shrugged.
Not only has he read it, I believe he wrote a book about it.
Some of the things that he was commenting on, saying that the corporations should be more involved with the government legislation, seemed a little backwards from the whole Ayn Rand thing, because in the book, the corporations are writing the legislation to drive their competitors out of business.
Mm-hmm. But they're doing that in Atlas Shrugged. They're doing that because the government has become so corrupt it's allowing them to. I mean, the whole point of Atlas Shrugged is government bad, corporations good, ultimately. Or, you know, John Galt, those entrepreneurs who stand up against the grain, good. Government bad, and the few corporations who get in bed with them are bad.
Yeah, but it just seemed to me that the theme of the whole first 10 chapters or so of the book was that corporations writing legislation to drive their competitors out of business is a bad thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's been more than 25 years since I read the book, so I can't specifically address that. But Alexander Goldmark, our board op in Washington, in New York, rather, who has more recently read the book, says you're absolutely right, Rachel. So thanks for updating us on it. I appreciate it. It's great to hear from you.
Thanks.
Thanks for calling. Daniel in Robertsville, Alabama. Hey, Daniel, welcome to the program.
How are you doing, Tom?
Good.
I just got a comment about your guest. For me, from the standpoint that I heard, it sounded like more of corporate fascism, maybe like what Mussolini tried to do in the 20s.
Well, yeah, when Mussolini merged corporations into government, in fact, he dissolved parliament and replaced it with the Cameo de Fascisio Corporaciones, the Chamber of the Fascist Corporations.
Yep. So we learned from their mistakes? I don't think so.
Well,
this government's going so far south, it's scary.
Yeah, or so far right. You know,
I used to be a Republican, what I like to call now is the American Workers' Party.
There you go.
I've gone liberal or Democrat since then.
Well, you know what's amazing, Daniel, is I will openly and gladly and proudly refer to myself as a liberal or as a progressive, but the reality is that oddly, by saying that, you find mainstream media commentators saying that I'm a lefty, right? I mean, CNN now, they just hired J.C. Watts, the Republican from Oklahoma. They just hired Glenn Beck. I mean, it's like they're trying to reinvent CNN as Fox News or something, I think.
620kpoj.com.
The people in Washington are terribly disconnected with the way the average citizen in this land lives. Mm-hmm. And so what would be a cool thing to institute would be that voters who meet some arbitrary test, like you make less than $80,000 a year or something, are automatically, when they vote, entered into a lottery. And when your number is pulled, you get an hour in front of Congress, as in you get to address the people who are out of touch with how the grassroots lives.
Now, this is your idea?
I just thought that maybe this has been thought of before and proposed and put down. I don't know.
It just sounds utterly and absolutely insane. Because there should be a lottery. There should be. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to be a smartass with you, Bob. I'm not.
But the
idea is insane. If I or you want to address Congress, there should be maybe a little screening committee, maybe an aide to my congressman or your congressman. I guess mm-hmm. we're talking about the House of Representatives here.
Yeah.
And if you have something to say, that you should be able to call up that aide or send an email or get on a plane and go to New York and sit down with that congressperson's aide and say, hi, my name is Bob. I live in the home district. I want to talk to you about this. And if it's good enough, then go ahead and, maybe they'll let you address a committee. You understand what I'm saying? This should be a right of Americans, not a lottery.
Yeah, the thing that makes it a problem with the, be it a committee or some other test other than random sample, is that the Congress people themselves will actually have some control over who gets to come in and tell their story as in this is how the grassroots
okay.
live.
All right. Yeah, I get the point, I guess, of the lottery. I'm just saying, you know, it's an interesting kind of fantastical idea, but I don't think it's going to fly, Bob. Oh, Bob! Oh, damn. All right, well, Bob's go. We've got phone calls dropping off the screen here like flies. What, we're taking a hit from NSA? Okay, well, let's see. Who's we got time to take one more before the break? All right, let's go to Dan, who's calling in from Madison. I would imagine that's Wisconsin, right?
You betcha. Hey there, Mike. It's great to get on your show for the first time. Good work.
Hey, my pleasure, Dan.
I certainly agree with you that the Bush regime's crimes are just about unrivaled in our history. NSA spying, Iraq, their very likely involvement in 9/11. But one thing you said that I take exception to, Ronald Reagan's so-called landslide of 1980 was not the result of a legitimate election. Barbara Honegger, who worked in the first Reagan administration, documents exhaustively in her book, October Surprise, mm-hmm. how William Casey, Reagan's campaign manager, waged a covert op against the Carter campaign. And it's probably too long to get into real details. But
I'm familiar with that. But I'm saying there was no Diebold voting. There were no electronic voting machines back then. It was still all punch cards.
It included the theft of Carter's briefing books for the
right,
debate,
right.
By Robert McFarlane.
Oh, sure. All that stuff did occur. You're absolutely right. What I was referring to was the fact that even in addition to all that was the fact that there were in this country a huge cadre of working people who went temporarily mad. There must have been something in the water, because all of a sudden you had people in Detroit and Lansing and Wichita and Savannah and Poughkeepsie voting for a Republican. These are working class people who had always voted Democratic, and they called themselves Reagan Democrats. And
the infamous collusion of the Reagan Democrats. But
right.
I just getting at the fact that the theft of the presidency in 2000 and 2004 are not totally unprecedented events, but the sheep-like acceptance by much of the American people may just be.
Well, I can certainly agree with that.
And I really agree with you that this Bush crime family must be impeached as soon as possible to prevent that network of Konzentrationslager, or camps that you mentioned before, from being implemented on a truly grandiose scale. And finally, don't dumb yourself down on TV, Guy. You're doing a great job.
Yeah, well, I hear that. Dan, thanks. I appreciate you checking in. The emails here are kind of agreeing with Dan. I don't think I'm going to do the MSNBC thing, Kathy. I don't think I'm going to do the Scarborough thing. With all due respect to the producer young man who called. And I'll call him over the weekend and tell him, but I don't think so. I really don't think so. And part of that is based on the fact that you know, a lot of folks, the vast majority of people are saying here, don't do it. Just don't do it.
You just don't want to wear makeup, Mike. Just admit it, I know. It's torture. It's hell. Ask me, I know.
We'll be right back.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Coming at you from the left side of the dial. It's Mike Malloy on AM 620 KPOJ.
Dear Gold Bond, I'm a hairstylist, and washing hair all day really wrecks my hands.
Listen to this real letter from Nikki of West Virginia about our Ultimate Healing Lotion.
Since I found Gold Bond Ultimate, my hands haven't cracked once.
Gold Bond Ultimate Healing Lotion penetrates fast to help heal rough, cracked skin with 7 intensive moisturizers plus 3 vitamins. It's long-lasting, too.
Now I show off my hands to all my clients.
Can your lotion do that? Gold Bond Ultimate Healing Lotion.
This stuff really works.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. When I created the 8-pound Orrick XL, I created a new category of vacuum. It's hypoallergenic. And why is hypoallergenic so important? Because it offers incredible filtration and traps over 99.99% down to 0.3 microns of that nasty dust that carries germs. Call 1-800-989-4200 for free literature or 30-day home trial. Because cleanliness is next to auricness.
I thought you were done with our taxes.
I am, but now TurboTax can help us get even more from our tax refund.
Really?
Yeah. With TurboTax, we can use all or part of our refund for gift cards with a bonus of 10%, 20%, or more at over 50 major retailers.
Wow.
We can get more from the places where we'd spend our money anyway.
A bonus on top of our refund? I'm thinking power tools.
Or some new shoes.
DVD player.
Dinner out.
Barbecue grill.
New laptop.
Vacation.
Vacation.
Fees apply. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
One in four adults has high blood pressure. If you're one of them and you have a cold, Coricidin HBP has surprising news for you. The American Heart Association recognizes that decongestants found in many leading cold medicines can raise your blood pressure and interfere with blood pressure medication. So why risk it? Only decongestant-free Coricidin HBP provides a line of safe, powerful cold and flu medications specially formulated for...
620kboj.com.
Suddenly it's the anti-cheers, okay? You want to go where no one knows your name, apparently, is the new catchphrase in Washington. Everybody's running to give back the money. They're all a bunch of rats. Rats they are. And they're going to rat on each other, and quite frankly, I'm going to enjoy this. Because, you know, when you deceive the entire American public, and when you preside over a administration of corruption and death, you don't really want to trust the people that are doing it with you, because their heart is black. You understand? And there will come a day when they will get you. So the day has come. And anyway, I was talking about Griles, and I was talking about that Indian Affairs Committee hearing last night. I went to Bed Bath & Beyond, went way beyond. Didn't even get home till 9 o'clock. My dog had to go so bad his legs were crossed, and he was doing the dance. You know the dance you do when you can't get the key in the door? And why is it you always have to pee when you can't get the key in the door? What is that? Is there like a metal-to-metal bladder connection? I don't even understand what that is, but now I do the dance. And I stand in front of the door. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And I got 9 bags from Bed Bath & Beyond, all with, like, you know, towels and washcloths for her new apartment. Because they were a dollar. Oh, good sale. Oh, good sale. So I went in there to buy, like, 3 towels for, they were, like, bath towels. Good ones. For, like, $3.40. Don't ask me why $3.40. I'll go for the $3.39. You know, no, definitely $3.40. Definitely $3.40. It's like they're now the Chuck Schumer of price markdowns. Because Chuck Schumer, I don't know if you know this, he's the rain man of the Senate. He has the best retention and recall of any senator I've ever met in my life. In my life. And I've met a lot of them. Chuck Schumer actually could see me after not seeing me for 2 years and go, you definitely had 3,400,899 pores in your skin last time I saw you. Definitely 3,899,466. Definitely. Now you have 3,422. What are you doing? You look good. Do you know what I mean? Cheney yesterday gave a speech to the Heritage Foundation. So, of course, it takes, you know, a day to turn it over. Because when was the last time you even asked for a ticket to a Heritage Foundation event, right? I mean, it's just not on the radar screen. So you have to wait until C-SPAN gets the speech and turns it around for me so that sane people can see or hear or read what the scary man has said. He is so freaking scary. Everything about him is scary, scary. But the big thing was he lied. He lied. When we come back from the break, it'll take me 7 seconds for me to show you that he lied. I said, literally, 7 seconds or less to show you that Cheney lied.
If we had the ability to wiretap without a court warrant, 9/11 wouldn't happen.
Wait till you hear this. It's incredibly sick and sad.
620kboj.com.
718-1000 today. 503-718-1000.
I can take care of myself. I can make a peanut butter sandwich. I can brush my teeth and I can give myself a bath. I can walk home alone from school. I can pick dinner from the trash behind the deli. I can watch the baby for the whole weekend. I can keep a baseball bat by my bed just in case there's trouble. Don't worry about me. I can take care of myself.
If you're in jail, who'll be there to take care of your family? Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Did you know you have the power to stop children from joining gangs? You can help a homeless father find a job and home for his family. You can assist a woman who can't afford the medicine she needs to live and the home she can't live without. Support Volunteers of America, and you can help improve the lives of nearly 2 million Americans each year. Support the programs that are working in our community. Contact Volunteers of America today. Call 1-800-899-0089.
Alloy Recycle on AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's progressive talk station.
And now, the man conservatives love to hate, it's Mike Malloy.
In this town, don't mean a thing, just lock your doors and drive around.
It's about 26 before the hour. Okay, thanks for all the emails on the MSNBC thing. I definitely am going to pass. I had some doubts about it. We'll call the guy over the weekend, Kathy, and thank him, but going to pass. And for all the reasons that you and I have talked about before, Kathy, about the futility and ridiculousness of my going on those programs. And apparently we forgot, and people have brought up those very points in their emails. Thanks, everybody. To the guy who called in just a few minutes ago from California, Bob, with the idea of the lottery, would you send me an email? I have a listener who would like to get in touch with you about your idea. So, Bob, if you're still listening, just send an email to mike@mikemalloy.com, and I'll forward to you this information. This program's becoming like Swap and Shop, isn't it?
Mike, I have a Philco refrigerator that I've had out here in the garage for, it's been sitting out there, but it works. I keep beer in it, and I'm willing to sell it for $25. And my phone number here is 555-8721.
Hi, Mike. I have a couple of Vietnamese pigs that I'd like to trade for a carburetor on a 1957 a Pontiac. My phone number is... I love those programs. I used to... the first time I got fired from WSB, or the second time, I don't know, here in Atlanta, I wound up on a little radio station out in Lawrenceville, Georgia, which is the town where Larry Flint got gunned down. Oh, it's wonderful out there. Oh, Jesus. But I was on a little radio station out there. It was owned by a car dealer. And they paid me, $100 a week, and I had a three-hour program, I think from noon to three. So I got on that radio station. First thing I found out was that the sales manager was screwing the owner blind. People were buying, he's $20. I'll pay you $20 to get my ad on for the feed mill here, or the car lot, or my repair shop, you know. And the program director, sales manager, he was also an ex used car salesman, and you know, if it was $25, he'd pocket 15 and tell the owner, yeah, I sold another $10 spot here. But anyway, the program that immediately preceded mine was a Swap and Shop show, and I would leave my home in Atlanta and drive out. It's about 30 miles outside of Atlanta, and I'd drive out to Lawrenceville, listen to that damn Swap and Shop program all the way out there. And then I'd get to this radio station in Lawrenceville, Georgia, where we're famous because this is where we shot that pornography son of a bitch, Larry Flint, almost killed it. You know, nobody has ever even been arrested in that, right? Never even arrested. And that was, 20 years ago? 25 years ago that occurred? But anyway, on the way out there, I'd listen to the Swap and Shop, and it was unbelievable stuff, man. I mean, yeah, I live in Georgia. And most of the time, I kind of forget that. But when you're driving out to Lawrenceville, listen to a Swap and Shop. Whew. But I'd get out there and do my little show, which was similar to this, even though it was about 16 years ago, 15 years ago. And one by one, they started losing all their advertisers. You know, the local car dealer, he bailed out. The machine shop bailed out. The roofing company bailed out. The local Baptist church bailed out. Everybody started notifying the owner. They would call him up at his car lot. He was a new car dealer, still is out here. He owns four or five car lots, multi-millionaire. And they started calling him up saying, Lamar, you better get that son of a bitch off the radio or we ain't never going to advertise with you again. He's a communist bastard. I heard him on that WSB, and they fired his ass because he's so left-wing. Get rid of him, Lamar. Well, they did. But it was a great experience. At least I didn't get gunned down, you know, although I had some questions about that. Man. Yeah, and Lamar, the car lot owner who owned the radio station, he used to say, Yeah, I heard your program the other day on my radio station. I have to tell you, boy, you got gumption. Oh, my God. All right. Let's, Kathy insists I tell the last little bit of the story. This radio station was built, I don't know, about the time radio was invented, commercial radio. I guess in the 20s or 30s, this radio station had been out there, been sitting out in a soybean field. So they had good transmission. I think it was, 100 watts? I've got light bulbs at home with more power than that radio station they had, right? But it covered, I don't know, it covered probably 50 miles in any direction. So it included Atlanta. You could be in Atlanta and listen to the station. And it was funny because people say, damn, that's where Malloy went? is that what they did, that communist bastard? But it was so backward and so primitive in that radio station. I would sit there at the little, it was a folding table. That was the broadcast area. And I had a microphone, but in order to hear the callers, I had to have a telephone, a regular handset telephone. This is way before cordless. Well, I guess there were cordless phones, but I'd sit there with a phone up to my ear. And I have to twist it up so I wasn't talking into the mouthpiece, because if I talked to the mouthpiece and the microphone, I'd get this feedback. And sit there and do that. I'm sorry. I don't.
Now that is a man. I have to just jump in. That is a man who is dedicated to his craft.
Oh, wherever, you know, I've worked in places where, you know, it was necessary. It was literally necessary to stay armed all the time. And I had to let people know, don't mess with me. You hillbilly sons of bitches, I am armed, you know, and I will put a bullet in you. I have no problem. None whatsoever. So, you know, when I get off my job at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, if you want to get ass, you're going to have to bring ass, but I'm telling you, I'm armed, and I know how to use it. Joe is calling from Miami. Joe, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hey, oh, sorry, Mike. I was practicing.
Yeah, right. Sorry about that rant.
That's all right. No problem, Mike. Hey, Kasich's the guy you were on, right? John Kasich?
That was the guy, yeah.
That rat bastard, like you said. Hey, a couple things I want to talk about. Turley, you listen to him today? John Turley?
Yes, I did.
Did you hear what he said? He was an employee of the NSA at one time? As a lawyer?
No, I didn't hear that part, did he?
Yeah, early in his career, he said he appeared before the FISA court and was frightened by how easy it was to get the warrants. He said it scared him even back then. And you know what's really scary, Mike? How the average American can be scared by Bin Laden and his buddy Bush flying a couple airplanes in a couple buildings. I mean, they're ready to give up their rights. And like Moore said on this speech, we were in much more dangerous times in the 60s and 70s when you had nuclear missiles to destroy the country in 20 minutes. And people are willing to give up everything right now.
I know. It's just, I don't get it, except we live in just an absolutely ignorant society now. And there's just enough ignorance to fuel these filthy right-wingers, these disgusting American Nazis.
You know, people got to realize the Bush family had ties with the Bin Laden family for years. Bin Laden fought with the CIA in Afghanistan. Those bones were made a long time ago. We're being wing-wanged here, left and right, and the Saudis are involved too. I think Bush is actually a Saudi agent. Take care, my man.
He probably is. Thanks, Joe. I appreciate it. Bush is a Saudi agent. Never thought of that. Carlton is calling from Detroit, Michigan. Is it Carlton or Charlton? How do you
Hello?
Say? Yes, sir. Is
Charlton.
It Charlton? Welcome to the program.
Yeah, great, Mike. I listen to you every night. I really admire your courage. I want to talk a little bit about the hypocrisy of George Bush.
All right.
I call him George Beast. When he was first running, he said that he was with compassionate conservatism. I remember that. But during his watch, 7 million more Americans are in the poverty level.
Well, the compassionate conservative thing was just another Bush lie. He had no intention of being anything except the Nazi that he is.
And he also said he was going to be a uniter.
Yeah.
And it's just, he did. He said, I'm going to be a uniter.
Yeah, well, he has united the world against us. He has done that, hasn't he?
Yes, and he also claimed that he wasn't going to have in his administration the scandal, so-called scandal of the Clinton administration. And really, from what I hear, he has the most corrupt bunch of criminals running things that this nation has ever seen. And I have one last point, Mike.
All right.
As far as all these so-called right-wing Christians, they should read their Bible and see what Jesus really taught. Because according to George Bush's words and actions, he's more like an antichrist, Mike, than a Christ.
I hear
you.
Watch
your back.
All right. I hear you. Thanks. Thanks for checking in. Appreciate your call. All right. Quick break. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy. This is Air America.
America Radio.
It's the Mike Molloy Show on AM 620 KPOJ.
There are two kinds of bikers. There's the tough, hardcore biker like Smokey here.
Hey, bro.
And then there's the weekend rider like Jeff.
Hey, man.
These two bikers couldn't be more different, except for one thing. You both have Geico motorcycle insurance. Because Geico covers most kinds of motorcycles, and they offer money-saving discounts. So, you see, you guys, you have more in common than you thought.
Neat.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
Hello. I am the Ricola Mystery Cougher. If you hear me coughing and offer me a soothing, natural Ricola cough drop, I'll reward you with $1,000, $100,000, maybe $1 million. But be warned, I can be a man
or a woman.
So keep your Ricola cough drops on hand.
For clues and official rules, go to RicolaUSA.com. No purchase necessary. Game open to legal U.S. residents.
A few gray hairs or wrinkles around the eyes might bother some people, but not me. I couldn't be happier. You see, 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, a kind of cancer. I wasn't sure I'd be around for my next birthday, let alone live to see the signs of aging some folks fret about. All I could think about was that I'd be missing the big events in the lives of my three daughters. Graduations, weddings, grandchildren. As I cried myself to sleep, I knew I was in the fight of my life. But I got help and hope from the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Thanks in part to the life-saving research they fund, survival rates for lymphoma and other blood cancers have increased dramatically. So far, I'm beating this thing. My cancer's in remission. Who knows what the future holds? But if living longer means more gray hairs and wrinkles, I'll take them. To find out how you can help, call 888-HELP-LLS or visit lls.org. I'm Kathleen Maggie Brown, and with the help of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, I'm relentless for a cure.
Hello?
Hello, Jane. It's Julie.
Hi.
I just wanted to ask about the party your son Tom is having tomorrow. Our daughter Megan is coming, and I just want to be sure there won't be any alcohol there. I hope you don't mind.
My husband and I had planned to be out of town this weekend, Julie. We didn't know anything about a party.
Oh, no.
If you're a parent, it never hurts to ask. For more information on talking with your kids about alcohol, visit NIAAA.NIH.gov. Brought to you by the Department of Health and Human Services, the National Institutes of Health, and the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism.
620KPOJ.com.
Jill in New York.
Hey, Randy, congratulations on the numbers. And I just
thank you.
You're very welcome. I'm just fit to be tied because every Republican I know is a racist and a bigot, and it's the tie that binds them, and it's been going on since FDR. And they are just practicing what they always do, which is to call people names. So let's not call them racist. Let's ask them what they're really afraid of.
They're afraid of the truth. They're afraid of somebody like me sitting down at the computer and doing a simple Google search for the term liberal plantation or Democrat plantation or anything even remotely like that and finding a long list of Republicans who use that term. They just object to the truth. They're so afraid somebody's going to figure out that they coined that phrase, that they have practiced plantation politics their entire Republican lives. Trent Lott, remember Trent Lott lost his leadership position because he opened his mouth about, hey, you know, I voted for Stroman 48, and, you know, we wouldn't have the problems we have today if we elected Strom president.
There you go.
See, I mean, they're all guilty of supporting people in their party who say terrible racist things if they've not said them themselves, where Democrats have consistently fought for civil rights at the ballot box, for women, for blacks, for schools, for water fountains, for lunch counters. I mean, it's incredible. Our history, our actions, our deeds, our legislation, the fact that we ended redlining, meaning that the bank would look at your zip code and say, oh, that's a black area, and then just, you know, stamp the loan no. We ended that. Empowerment zones were created because we believed that if people got the proper policing, 100,000 new police, remember that? If people's neighborhoods could be made secure, from security would come the liberty to open a new business. And if banks weren't redlining anymore, here was a perfect opportunity to send 100,000 new police officers to the places that needed protection and to tamp down crime so that people would feel good about opening up black-owned businesses. And guess what? It swept the country.
620KPOJ.com.
It's about 9 before the hour, thanks to our production crew in New York City, our engineers tonight, Justin Yuen, and resident rock star Jason Isaac. Thanks, guys. D. Neal is our associate producer in New York, handles the phone calls and answers the blog, or maintains the blog at airamericaradio.com/Mike Malloy. Although I did have a grammatical mistake in today's blog, and I sent Dee an email. I guess, you know, I asked her to correct it, but I guess she didn't get it. She's doing it right now. Bless your heart, Dee. To our outside crew, Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Mark Marshall, our webmaster, militant mods at MikeMalloy.com on the message board. Thanks always to you folks who have been there for a couple, 3 years now. Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, who archives this program and also is, he's doing something with the 1984 readings. So stay close to WhiteRoseSociety.org, okay? Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief who comes up with some of the recordings that you hear on this program. And then Kathy's brilliance, of course, filters those musical bits in. Our executive producer is Kathy Bay. Back to the phone calls. Richard is calling from Louisville. Richard, welcome to the program.
Mike, great show, pal.
Thank you, sir.
Kathy, thanks for the moody blues a while ago. Listen, Mike, I think you ought to go on Scarborough if you can get it in writing that they wouldn't edit what you say.
Well, it's a live program, but I just, you know, I've been there, done that, got the T-shirt, and as so many of those people, those right-wingers, just stink. I don't know.
What this country needs, Mike, they need to hear a fire-breathing dragon, righteous dragon like yourself. They need to wake up. But listen, what do I know? Hell, I voted for George McGovern. Mike.
So did I.
I just told you my age.
Well, I just told you mine.
Yeah, I used to roll and tumble and get ready for the nuclear bombs coming to town, but that was a long time ago. Anyway, Mike, you know, you hit the nail on the head a while ago when you mentioned the ignorance in this country.
2004 election, in my opinion, was about the gay marriage thing. They beat these poor people to death, but I think before the American people wakes up, all their pension plans are going to be gone. The health benefits will be nil. You know, you're going to. I'm a blue collar worker, Mike. I'm a pipe fitter, and I do represent people within my local union. And there's some silly boys out there that are worried about their guns and such like that. Of course, I live in Louisville, Kentucky. So although our county here is a blue county, it's definitely a red state, and it's kind of scary, buddy.
Well, I hear you. You know, I never worried about. I've always been a gun owner. A lot of my liberal friends think that I'm a closet Nazi or whatever. I don't care. I've always owned guns. I've done hunting. Never big game, just small game. I usually try to eat what I shoot, unless I shoot rabbits. I don't eat varmints. But I never felt any concern. I used to be a member of the NRA. I've said that many times on this program until they got insane. I've never felt any threat from any Democrat anywhere in the country, Democratic office holder, about the Second Amendment or the right, my right, if I want to exercise it, to own weapons. I understand the risk involved. I don't like the fact that the weapons are available, but I do it anyway.
Yeah.
The only time I have ever felt a threat is from these right-wing conservative Nazis. Now, remember what Hitler did when he took power. One of the first things they did was confiscate private firearms.
He shut down the unions too, pal.
Well, he did that. Oh, union members were
shut down all the building trades.
That's right. They were some of the first people to go to the concentration camps.
You better believe it. And there is a big move in this country by the corporations, by Bush. First thing he did is he did away with the Davis-Bacon Act down there, and after Katrina.
Yep.
You know, these are just basic, simple facts. For the working class.
That's right.
And but Mike, you've got to get those people who do vote to wake up and come back to the Democratic side to help themselves. And you got to get those people who don't vote. What are they doing, Mike?
I hear you, but Democrats, blue collar working class Democrats, which I am, always will be, coalition Democrat. That's how I was raised. That's how I'll always be. We don't have any leadership in the Democratic Party.
Yeah, that's a good point, Mike.
We do have a few, but they're not in leadership positions.
That's a good point, pal. And it was great to hear Al Gore the other day. Hillary Clinton come to town a month ago here in Louisville, and we tore the place down for her. She was absolutely thrilled. We raised $600,000, and that's what it's going to take. And although I'd like to see Hillary change on a couple of ideas, she's still one of the hopes I think we have in this country for us.
All right, well, listen, thanks for checking in, Richard. We're just flat out of time. I appreciate your call, sir.
Thank you.
All right, you take care. You take care. Oh, is the week over? It's been a strange week. What happened to Kevin Kenney? Oh, stop the music.
See y'all Monday night, all right? Take care now. Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
Have a great weekend, Kevin Kenney, wherever you are.
Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.